Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. And it's 4:02. We welcome you in on a Monday, the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by the good folks at Randy's Flooring. They've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. You can stop in one of their two corridor locations to find out why for yourself, the one here in Cedar Rapids, or if you're in the Iowa City area, the Randy's showroom on the Strip in Coralville. We'll tell you a little bit more about Randy's as the day goes on. Welcome in. Todd Bromelkamp and Alex Kuhn with you until 7 o'clock tonight. Our producer, Kyle Mann, taking your phone calls and texts at 319-366-1600. That is the Hertine & Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertine & Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. A good show in store for you today. Not only do we have some great guests, and we'll tell you about them coming up in just a little bit, but we've got two great giveaways, and we're going to have them for you all week here. A $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill is yours in the 5 o'clock hour, and in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, tickets to see Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias coming to the Iowa State Fair later on this summer. So tickets to see a pretty funny guy in the 6 o'clock hour and some delicious Mexican food or margaritas, however you want to use your $30, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. In about, let's say 15 minutes, we'll check in with RJ Anderson of CBSSports.com. It is a big night for Major League Baseball. The Major League Baseball draft gets underway in Secaucus, New Jersey. And we'll get RJ's thoughts on the baseball season now that the calendar has turned to June. Also, Chris Raby of KMOX in St. Louis is going to stop by in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little Cardinals baseball after that weekend sweep. You guys wouldn't let me, you wouldn't let me off the hook if I tried to ignore what took place over the weekend. Although, if you remember, I didn't get too high and I didn't get too low when the Cubs swept the Cardinals at Wrigley Field earlier in the season. Chris is going to start talking about Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight at the Enterprise Center in St. Louis. And that's a good time to bring in my co-host, Alex Kuhn, who was at Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals at the Enterprise Center on Saturday night.
Somebody who was very, very bad luck, apparently. Myself.
There's nothing worse than feeling like you are part of the reason why your team is not right. Like when you attend games, and I know folks out there feel the same way. A friend of mine, every time he goes to an Iowa football game, things don't go well. And the rest of my friends give him a hard time about, maybe you should just sit the next decade out or so. Sit at home, sit in front of the big HD TV, refrigerator full of beer, just don't go to the games anymore. Was there anything? This is your Game 4 of the 2016 World Series. I walked out of Wrigley Field after the Cubs fell to the Indians, and it felt like it was over. Kind of in the back of my mind, I was like, okay, well, yeah, I guess I can check this off the bucket list. I never thought I'd get to see my favorite baseball team in the World Series, but man, this just stinks. There's no way they're going to win the series now. And guess what? They came back, and that was 3-1. You're down 2-1 and can even things up tonight, so anything can happen. That being said, Saturday night, Boston dominated on the power play.
They took over the game, and never my worst nightmares about that game did I think that it would get to that point. I was... The fact that Jake Allen had to come into the game, that really never even had crossed my mind that there was a possibility that that might happen. And it just, throughout the entire day, it was a beautiful day in St. Louis. The city was full of life. The Boston fans were there, ran into plenty of Chicago Cubs fans. The St. Louis fans were out in full force. The atmosphere was as great as I expected. And then going into that building, the seats were full an hour and a half before game time. Everybody was there, and the place was electric. The introduction, the light show, the the team introductions. The first 5 minutes of the game. And then the Blues took their first penalty. And the Boston Bruins proceeded to score 4 goals on 4 power plays on 4 shots. And that's pretty much all you need to know about that game. And following the loss, it felt like they had just lost. The Blues were down 3-1 on the brink of elimination, rather than the fact that they're just down 2-1, a place they were just in 1 series ago before winning 3 in a row against the San Jose Sharks. But they are up against it tonight. They have to respond the way that they have throughout the playoffs. But I would absolutely label tonight a must-win for the St. Louis Blues.
You mentioned everybody was in the building an hour and a half before the puck dropped. I had the same experience at the World Series in 2016. I'm not normally a big fan of going into the ballpark as early as possible.
Right.
In Wrigleyville, it was the only way to get a drink at the World Series because the bars were packed. So the only way you could get a beer or two in you was to go inside the stadium where only a finite number of people who had tickets could get access. All of the bars were probably 15, 20 people deep. It was just an absolute sea of humanity. And Jordan Bennington's never going to have to buy another beer in the city of Boston again after Game 3. He would love to not be able to have to buy a beer in the city of St. Louis ever again in his life. And we'll talk with Chris Raby about this coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But Bennington is really good coming off a loss and has been throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs and into the regular season. The Division III World Series is going on at Veterans Memorial Stadium through the next couple days. I believe they're done playing for today. There was just one game. My adopted team is out.
What is that?
UMass
Thomas and Jefferson.
UMass or? Boston. The Beacons of UMass Boston eliminated today by Chapman, and Chapman will play Birmingham Southern in a best of three for the D3 title. And I don't know whether that stings for the Cohawk fans out there like Mark Dukes, but you can at least say if Birmingham Southern winds up winning the whole darn thing that Co was eliminated by the eventual national champions. Chuck Uragan and everybody over there with the America Rivers Conference and the Cedar Rapids Colonels, I know there are some growing pains anytime you take over an event that's been held someplace for, I believe Appleton, Wisconsin had the D3 World Series for almost 2 decades. I think it was 16 years. I was over there on Saturday night for a little bit, and great event. And it's going to be here for the next 3 seasons. It was a 4-year bid by Cedar Rapids, so hopefully it can get a foothold. I know the players and coaches, the NCAA staff, absolutely love the stadium. I was talking to some fans out in the parking lot. There were some folks with Alabama license plates on Saturday night. Birmingham Southern played the late game. They were tailgating and enjoying it. They've liked Cedar Rapids, had a great experience here. Now, this is an event that's worth supporting. We'll talk a little bit more about it coming up later on, but the matchup is set now, the best of three, as Birmingham Southern takes on Chapman. And the play is really good. If you're a baseball fan, Colonels are on the road until the 11th. Head on out to the ballpark and check things out. Now, the big story today, and I don't know, this is no longer a big story because the series is not going anywhere, much to the consternation of some fans on each side of the Cy-Hawk rivalry, but Iowa and Iowa State announcing a continuation of the football series between the two schools today that will now run for another 2 seasons, so Iowa and Iowa State will meet yearly in football through the 2025 season. That 2024 game is set to take place at Kinnick Stadium. The 2025 game will be played at Jack Trice Stadium in Ames. That's September 7th, 2024, if you've got a planner and want to put that in your calendar now, Hawkeye fans. And September 6th, 2025, Iowa State fans, God knows what the tailgating scene will look like. Will game day have been to Ames by September 6th of 2025? Are there people out there that are really still bothered by the Iowa-Iowa State series? 319-366-1600. Give us a call or a text if this really bothers you that Iowa and Iowa State play football every year. And if you're scoffing at this, at the idea, the notion that someone out there would be bothered by it, there are people out there that think Iowa should drop Iowa State. Look, if Matt Campbell has that program at the level that it's been at this past season, moving forward, that's a great non-conference game for Iowa. And I know it I know it handcuffs Iowa as far as what it can do in the non-conference schedule, and there are folks out there that would love to see Texas or Alabama or Clemson. It ain't happening because it takes two to tango, and none of those schools are interested in coming to Iowa City unless you had some sort of home and home where the dollars were extremely lucrative. So this is, for the time being, what you get year in and year out. You get Iowa State. You get, from an Iowa perspective, you get Iowa State. Occasionally you're going to have a UNI, or probably not a North Dakota State, but you're going to have a team that you feel is a pretty good win, pretty easy win, relatively speaking. You're going to have Iowa State, which is a Power 5 opponent, and then that third non-conference game is probably going to be a Mid-American team, or a Sun Belt, maybe one of the better Sun Belt teams. We've seen North Texas, teams of that nature.
Middle Tennessee this year, right?
It's Middle Tennessee this year. If you are bothered by Iowa and Iowa State playing football on a yearly basis, we would love to hear from you and your reasons why. 319-366-1600. Other than that, a little bit of recruiting news over the weekend. Iowa has two recruits now, one in the 2020 class and one in the 2021 class, from the Lena Winslow School District in Illinois, which is a rural school district east of the Quad Cities. There's about, I think, 250 kids in the school, according to Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com, and they've got not one but two Division I football players over the next two seasons, both of them committed to Iowa. And as you could probably guess, I'm pretty sure both of them are linemen. 319-366-1600, the College Football Hall of Fame ballot released today. I know the guys on the gym class talked a little bit about this, but Dallas Clark, Tim Dwight, and Andre Tippett, three former Hawkeyes on the ballot this year. If you had to pick one of those guys to go to war with, you're building an NFL team or a college football team. Let's keep it college. You're building a college football team, and you've got to pick one of those three guys to build around. Who are you taking and why? 319-366-1600. Why not have a little fun here before we chat with RJ Anderson of CBSSports.com? Andre Tippett was a dominant player on the defensive line at Iowa, played linebacker for the Patriots in the NFL. One of my favorite players growing up, because he's the first player that I can ever remember flipping over his football card and seeing school, Iowa, Andre Tippett. Andre Tippett was on the box of the 1986 Topps football cards, because the Patriots were really good back then. Patriots and Bears had played in the world, played in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 20. Bears fans remember that game quite well, for Walter Payton being snubbed at the goal line in lieu of William the Refrigerator Perry vulturing the touchdown, but they absolutely trounced the Patriots. Dallas Clark, a Mackey Award-winning tight end, 2002. And Tim Dwight, the hometown boy, makes good, starring alongside Tavian Banks. And
those are three really, really good options.
I don't know how you could choose.
I can't.
Which is why I'm forcing you to choose. 319-366-1600.
We're trying to get the listeners to give us their hot takes so we can take them as our own.
If you believe defense wins championships, I guess it's an easy call there. You'd build around Andre Tippett. I'm biased here, because I'm a big Dallas Clark fan. And Dallas and I were in school at the same time. We've done some charity events together, Make-A-Wish banquet several years ago. He's such a good dude. And then you've got Tim Dwight, who was all world.
I was going to say, I'm biased towards Tim Dwight in this conversation. You give me that kind of playmaker in this. You said in college football, right? I'm going to war in college. I'm not just going to war, right? I'm going to war within the confines of college football, and I get one of these players.
If I were a craven individual, what I would do right now is I would blatantly rip off my former co-host, because Tyler does this thing in Knoxville, Tennessee, where, and if you're familiar with, I can't say the name of the quote-unquote game because it has an expletive in it, but you list three people and you have to marry one of them, you have to murder one of them, and then you have to have carnal relations with one of them. Tyler does a derivative of this in Tennessee called Start, Sit, Bench, where you got to pick, basically, you're ordering, you're rostering 1, 2, 3. You got to start one of these guys, you got to sit one of these guys, or start, sit, cut, I believe is what he refers to the game as. So you, one's a starter, one's a backup, and you kick one out the door. He's not even on the roster. And this would be a hell of a setup for that, because
you
I don't know how you would choose. But I'm not that craven of an individual where I would completely rip off my former co-host and do that segment here, at least under that name. I think it's Start, Sit, Cut. Start, Sit, Bench does. Sit and bench are the same thing. So it wouldn't make any sense if that were the name of it. But we were talking on the phone not all that long ago, and he was telling me about this segment. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, do I want to do this? Is there a statute of limitations here? A cone of a radius of how far away we are that we could get away with this? Quite frankly, I'm starting Dallas Clark. Okay. I'm sitting Andre Tippett, and I'm cutting Tim Dwight. That's my list. 319-366-1600.
You're cutting Tim Dwight.
I
know,
offensive.
It's a tough decision, man.
Dallas Clark, dominant. Dominant tight end. Now, Tim Dwight, you got a little versatility there. You could put him in the backfield, play around with him a little bit.
You can use him in every situation
gadget,
in this day and age.
Gadget guy. And I'm biased toward all. There's bias here on all three fronts because I grew up. Andre Tippett was one of my favorite players growing up. Dallas Clark was one of my favorite guys, a contemporary at the University of Iowa. And as I said, we worked together in the past on some charity stuff. And then Tim Dwight's been on the show a number of times. I consider him a friend of the station and a local kid. But yeah, I'm not afraid to put that out there. That took me 5 seconds in my head to come up with. Dallas Clark starts, Andre Tippett's on my bench, and I'll cut Tim Dwight. You would start Dwight, I have a feeling.
I would start Dwight.
You got Dwight. So who's your bench guy? I'm sorry, Tyler. If you're listening to this, you can murder me in my sleep.
Dallas Clark's on my bench.
And
I don't have any time for defense.
Andre Tippett is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But I did say the parameters of this were college.
Give me all the offense. All of it. I'll neglect my defense. That's why I wouldn't be a very successful head coach. Well, that's that and a number of other reasons, but mostly that.
2325 on the Hurtin and Stocker text line says, Tim Dwight. I remember watching him in high school, and it was like watching the NFL against high school players. Tim Dwight and Tavian Banks matriculating at the same time in Iowa high schools was something. I remember there was an appearance they made in Sports Illustrated. I thought that was a big deal when I was younger, to have these two guys featured in Sports Illustrated and wind up being teammates at Iowa. And put Tavian Banks in the Iowa at one point in time had a backfield of Cedric Shaw and Tavian Banks. And then you had Tim Dwight come along. How did they not win more? I know it was the tail end of the Hayden Fry era and things were sort of trending downward there, and maybe there wasn't tremendous quarterback play, but I look back on that era and some of the individual talents, but football's one of those games where if you have, you need more than one transcendent talent. You need a lot of other people pulling their weight or exceeding expectations around them.
I was just going to ask you this, and this might be low-hanging fruit, but is there a chance in, I don't know, 10, 15 years, we might ask the same thing about last year's team? They won 9 games, but I just have a feeling that Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson are just going to be all pro type talents at the next level. That's just my feeling.
Well, here, maybe this is a better question. Other than these three guys, who's the next Iowa football player who's going to be on the College Football Hall of Fame ballot? And I'm trying to think along the lines of, you can come at me with the blowtorch. I want the AJ Epenesa hot takes. He hasn't even started a game yet. He's already projected to be a top 5 draft pick in next year's NFL draft. Come at me with AJ Epenesa is going to be the next Hawkeye in line to join the College Football Hall of Fame ballot. And you know what? I probably can't argue with you on that. Because if he does what he does this year, what people expect him to, it's going to be pretty extraordinary. 319-366-1600, 424. You have a look of bewilderment.
No, I just
puzzlement.
A little bit confused necessarily. What are the parameters? Are there really any for the College Football Hall of Fame? Who are the guys that they like to take? Why did these guys get the nod for the ballot? And I'm just trying to think back over the past 10, 15, 20 years for candidates, but sort of need to know what direction the committee looks for players.
Okay. I think you have to have received a first-team All-America honor from an outlet.
Okay.
Easy enough.
Is Robert Gallery, has he been on the ballot yet?
I don't believe so.
Because that's the type of guy that comes to mind first.
Football achievements are considered first, but the post-football record as a citizen is also weighed. Okay. Fascinating. I don't know why you take that into account.
Okay.
Why
Nate
there's
Kading.
Some sort of why there's some, Nate Kading would be in my personal Hall of Fame. Absolutely. I don't know why there. We really want to go down the road of Hall of Fames having character clauses. Then this is perfect 2019, though, and I know this has been the case with the College Football Hall of Fame for quite some time, but we do this in 2019 where we want to go back and re-examine the past and look at TV shows from 40 years ago and pretend that we're horrified by the things that we see and, oh my God, this would never be made today, and the Kate Smith controversy with some of the songs that she sang 60, 70 years ago. If we really want to go and reopen the case file on some of these guys who are in Hall of Fames and start worrying about whether they're good human beings or not, it's the College Football Hall of Fame. Were you a good college football player? Yes. Okay, that's the requirement. If I'm in charge,
seems
that's
pretty,
the requirement.
Seems pretty self-explanatory.
Baseball Hall of Fame? Yeah. And you can't go down the... Baseball's Hall of Fame has run into this issue because you want to take a stance on performance-enhancing drug users like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, tiny asterisk, allegedly. You've got guys in the Hall of Fame that were really, really bad dudes. So they're in. Why not the guys who cheated? And I feel like we just tried to do 5 different topics in the first 26 minutes. Kelgon, take me away. Save me from myself. And we'll bring Kyle into the studio here before we get RJ Anderson of CBS Sports with us. Kyle's going to bring you a big board update. Big board updates on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Alexander Lumber. You can still find them right now at their temporary location of 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City, soon to be in a new permanent location. Also, the Answers by Alexander Showroom on South Gilbert. The big board update presented by our producer, Kyle Mann.
Gary Barta and Jamie Pollard issued a joint announcement this morning that the Iowa Corn Cyhawk Series football game has been extended to exist through 2025. That tacks on an additional 2 years to the existing agreement. The teams first played in 1894 and have met every year since 1977. This year's game will be in Ames on September 14th. The Hawkeyes got their first commitment in the class of 2021 yesterday evening, and Iowa Director of Recruiting Tyler Barnes proved he's going to be a worthy follow on Twitter. At 8:03, he tweeted, "Nothing like starting off Swarm 21 with a bang," with a video of a small child dunking over a smaller child on a Nerf hoop. And just over an hour later, offensive lineman Jennings Dunker committed out of Illinois. 24/7 gives the 6'4", 265-pound junior to be 3 stars. The MLB draft is starting tonight, and although nobody's likely to be selected tonight, it'll be something to keep an eye on for Iowa baseball fans in the coming days. Senior Cole McDonald's pretty likely to be selected, but Dargan Southard pinpointed another couple guys to pay attention to, junior catcher Austin Martin and redshirt freshman Connor McCaffrey. He points out it's highly unlikely McCaffrey would leave school, but he is the Hawkeyes' highest-ranked player, according to Baseball America. The Colonels took 2-3 in Beloit over the weekend to reach the 500 mark on the season. They're off today before starting the second half of a two-week road trip in Clinton tomorrow. And tonight after the show, we'll have the Blues trying to bounce back from a Game 3 shellacking. It's Game 4 from St. Louis on all three KGYM frequencies.
Remember when Connor's dad was going to be the head coach at Arkansas so that Connor could transfer and raise his baseball profile at Arkansas and the SEC? Those were fun times. That was a fun month of May.
Wait, that didn't happen?
4:29, we're going to take a quick timeout. RJ Anderson of CBS Sports is with us on the other side of this break. RJ is going to break down free agency 2.0. Craig Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel free to sign now without draft pick compensation. So what's holding up things for teams here? We'll ask RJ that and more next.
Come here. Boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, we're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit us at 2802 Independence Road or at our Answers by Alexander showroom at 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Mondays, brought to you by our good friends at Randy's Flooring. You can find out more by visiting their website, randysflooring.com. The calendar now officially has turned to June over the weekend. Time to really start paying attention to what's going on in Major League Baseball. The hardcore nuts like us, we've been paying attention since spring training, but a lot of people are starting to take a look at Major League Baseball, where teams are in the standings. The draft is coming up tonight. Perfect opportunity for us to touch on a number of topics with RJ Anderson of CBS Sports, his first appearance on the program. Not on the station. He's been on with the gym class before. But RJ, welcome into the program tonight. Let's go ahead and start with people are calling this free agency 2.0, but as of midnight last night, Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell can be signed without draft pick compensation, meaning that teams are going to be much more active in trying to bring them on board right now. Where do you think these guys fit, and how much longer are they going to be unemployed?
You know, those are both great questions. And honestly, with Kimbrel, he can fit just about anywhere. Now, there are a couple of teams who have established closers, and you would think that, you know, the Dodgers are not going to sign Kimbrel because they have Kenley Jansen, and both of those guys have a right to close. But otherwise, you know, Kimbrel could fit in with a number of teams. I think you're going to see the Minnesota Twins linked to them a lot, the Atlanta Braves, and, you know, a couple other teams as well. And with Keuchel, again, it's kind of similar. You know, every team has five starting rotation slots. Not many of them have five high-quality starters, so I think you could see him land, you know, the Twins are another hot name. You can go across the board, the Yankees perhaps, if they deem it necessary to add another starter, and we can keep listing off teams, but, you know, both of these guys are quality contributors. Kimbrel has the most saves through an age 30 season of all time. Keuchel is at least a mid-rotation starter, so there are any number of possibilities. It's just a matter of, you know, finding the right fit and for the dollar amount to get right. And, you know, teams have one fewer excuse now as to why they aren't signing these guys as regards to that draft pick compensation going away.
Now, we saw it a little bit last year with guys like Greg Holland and Lance Lynn signing late, Jake Arrieta as well, but we have not yet seen players of this caliber signing after June the 1st. So how interesting is it going to be to see how, A, the teams handle the rehab assignments and B, how effective these guys are when they do return?
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, in the past, mostly been players from a slightly lower tier. You know, you can go back even to Stephen Drew and Kendrys Morales a few years back where they signed mid-season and they didn't really have good years. And, you know, Lynn took a while to get going last season. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, the reports are that Keuchel has been throwing a simulated game. I assume that Kimbrel has been doing the same, and in theory, you know, maybe after a couple weeks in the minors, they could come up and be game ready. Now, I don't know how that's going to affect their performance out of the gate. I don't know if they're going to be, you know, this can go either way, I guess is what I'm really saying. You know, they can come out and dominate, and we can say, oh, you know, they have fresh arms while everybody else is, you know, a couple months into the season, or they could struggle and we could be talking about rust. So I'm not quite sure how it's going to go, but it'll be interesting to see, as you noted.
RJ Anderson with us from CBS Sports, talking Major League Baseball on a Monday afternoon in Eastern Iowa. One of those teams you mentioned, the Minnesota Twins, the fastest team in the American League to 40 wins. First, or the last time that happened for the Twins, 1991, wound up being a big year for them going to the World Series. They get Nelson Cruz back in the lineup this week, activated off the injured list, and Mitch Garver is back. Are the Twins the most surprising team at this point in Major League Baseball for you?
Yeah, I think they're at least the most surprising team in a positive sense. I don't think anyone had them leading the majors in run differential entering June. And, you know, you talked about Mitch Garver, talking about perhaps the best hitting catcher in baseball. That's another surprise. And that team's just full of surprises. And, you know, to their credit, during the offseason, they saw an opening. You know, Cleveland's ownership basically mandated the front office to spend less money. And Minnesota, on the other hand, went out there and signed Cruz and signed CJ Cron and signed Jonathan Scope, and, you know, added elsewhere on the roster, sensing that maybe they had a chance to steal that division. And now, you know, they have this huge division lead in June, and it looks like they're going to be able to add, be it Keuchel, be it Kimbrel, be someone else in a trade closer to the deadline. And yeah, it seems like they're going to make the postseason and perhaps do so in a convincing manner. So I would absolutely say they're the most surprising team in baseball, at least from a positive point of view, because I think you can throw Washington's disappointment in there as perhaps the most surprising overall.
You mentioned them being very active on the pitching market, and we've talked all season long about how unbelievable Jake Odorizzi has been. Martin Perez, up until that last start, had been great. But do you sense that they sort of see maybe that this type of pitching won't continue all season long? We need to bolster the rotation and the bullpen?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, keep in mind, just about every contender heads into July wanting to add at least a reliever or at least, you know, another starting option. And I think it's sensible for them to pursue both Keuchel and Kimbrel now that there's no draft pick compensation involved. You know, I can't speak to their budget, but my understanding is that they should be able to eat out at least one of those guys, assuming there's no, you know, weird contract stipulation or demands there. So maybe they add one of those and then they look to the trade market to add a reliever or add a back end starter getting closer to that deadline. Because, you know, you look at their rotation as it stands, and once you get to the postseason, you don't need five starters anymore. You need three or four, and I think they have that. But if you can add a guy like Keuchel, obviously you take that chance. And, you know, in case of injury, in case Martin Perez slips, in case Jake Odorizzi slips, what have you, you have an extra starter in hand. So, yeah, I do think they're going to continue to add up until that July 31st deadline.
RJ, you said the Twins were perhaps the best, most surprising team in a good way. Who surprised you the most in a bad way?
Well, like I mentioned, the Nationals, I think, because I had them not only competing in that division, but also potentially, you know, representing the National League in the World Series. And it just seems like that team is cursed. I mean, basically everything they did during the winter, with the exception of signing Patrick Corbin, hasn't worked out. And Davey Martinez can't seem to go a week without throwing a player under the bus. And it's just a mess of a situation. And I don't really know what they're going to do heading into the deadline, because while it makes sense to move some of those veterans, like Howie Kendrick and perhaps even Anthony Rendon, if they don't intend to re-sign him, you know, they have a lot of money due to Corbin and Strasburg and Scherzer, to the point where I don't think they can really trade them. And if they do, they're going to have to eat a lot of the contract that remains on their contract, excuse me. So, you know, that's a really rough situation. I don't know what they're going to do. And I had expectations that they were going to potentially play in the World Series. So I think that you have to say this is the most disappointing team in my view.
You think Davey Martinez could be the first manager fired this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think the odds are in favor of it, right? You know, Mickey Callaway's probably bought a little breathing room here recently, and Martinez's struggles date back to last season. I mean, he inherited a situation where the expectation was they would win a World Series, or at least reach the World Series, and so far they've been one of the worst teams in baseball since he took over. And, you know, it's not for a lack of talent, and it's not for a lack of mistakes on his part. So I think that there's a real chance he's going to get fired before the season ends. Ultimately, it might come down to whether ownership is willing to pay two managers at once, because this is a group that historically has not liked spending money on that position.
How about Scott Servais with the Mariners? They got off to that great start this year and have certainly cooled off. Jay Bruce is on the move over the weekend. He certainly has to be feeling some heat now as well.
It's an interesting situation, because if you think back to last year, they were, him and Jerry Depoto, the general manager, were kind of lame ducks. And then they went on that hot streak early in the year, and they received multi-year extensions. And then, you know, over the winter, Depoto obviously sort of began a rebuild process. So I think because of that, because entering the season there were not really high expectations, or weren't at least realistic expectations of competing, and because the Servais is basically best friends with Jerry Depoto, I don't think he's going to be fired, at least not during the season. You know, maybe down the road they make a change. But I actually think among, you know, the division trailers, if you will, I think his job is relatively safe because of those factors.
I brought up Jay Bruce on the move to the Phillies. It sounds like pretty much everybody is on the table for the Mariners at this point. We all know how much Jerry Depoto likes making deals. So who do you think the next guy to leave Seattle is? Who makes the most sense?
You know, that's a great question. And I guess it depends on how much money they're willing to eat. That could dictate who exactly is on the move, because when you ask around, I mean, you know, Mitch Haniger obviously is someone that teams would have interest in, and Marco Gonzalez likewise, and even, you know, stretching to Edwin Encarnacion. But otherwise, you know, there's not necessarily a lot of players on this team that others would line up for. I mean, Kyle Seager used to be an underrated player. He has a lot of money left on his contract, and he hasn't shown that he is the player he once was. So, you know, how many teams are really going to line up to take him? It depends on how much money they're willing to eat. And then beyond that, you know, some of their top performers in the early going were guys like Tim Beckham and Domingo Santana, who were available for pretty cheap during the winter. So, you know, if you're a contender, are you looking at those guys as someone who can come in and help your team? Or are you just remembering that, you know, you had a chance to acquire them a few months ago, and outside of a hot streak, they really haven't changed their profiles? So I think if you're looking for, you know, players who could really help another team, you're talking about the Hanigers and the Gonzalez's. Otherwise, you might see, you know, boring veteran salary dumps like Mike Leake and, you know, maybe a reliever along those lines. So probably nothing too exciting, although if they do make Haniger and Gonzalez available, that can get really interesting really quickly.
RJ, it's been very well documented how many injuries the New York Yankees have suffered. Despite that, they're 38-20, 2.5 games up in the AL East. How are they doing this?
You know, it's a testament to their front office, the coaching staff, and also the players they have on hand. You know, they've been able to get surprising contributions from types like Gio Urshela and Domingo Germán. I mean, you know, Domingo Germán was a guy they acquired years and years ago from Miami Marlins. And I know that it's kind of a trope now that the Marlins seem to have traded a lot of good talent away in recent years, but that's a guy who wasn't even supposed to make the Yankees starting rotation out of the spring. Because Luis Severino went down, he steps in, and he's just been outstanding for him. And you know, they have a lot of depth. They've done a good job of accumulating a lot of internal depth over the years. And yeah, it's remarkable that they're going to head into, you know, mid-June probably having more plate appearances from Austin Romine than Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge combined, and yet they're in first place and they look like the best team in that division. And, you know, if they can get healthy and stay healthy, I think they're not only going to run away with that division, but I think they have a really good chance of representing the American League in the World Series.
RJ, there's been a lot of hand-wringing from Cubs fans about the state of the team this year. They fell out of first place over the weekend, but so far, so good for Joe Maddon and the Cubs. If you could make one tweak to that team, what would it be?
Well, it'd probably be removing Addison Russell, but if we're talking about, you know, just a baseball-centric move, I guess maybe look at tweaking the bullpen a little bit, because I don't know who exactly they would acquire. Maybe it's just signing Kimbrel, but, you know, I don't have a lot of confidence in a bullpen where Tyler Chatwood is playing a huge role. So, you know, if you're talking about additions, I would definitely look at Kimbrel, look at maybe Alex Colome or one of these ever available relievers.
What do you make of the NL Central as a whole right now? The Brewers, it seems like the three teams at the top, the Brewers, the Cubs, and the Cardinals, have all traded time, not only surging, but slumping so far this season.
Yeah, and I think that's going to continue. You know, I think they're three pretty evenly matched teams. If I had to rank them, I would put the Cubs on top. Then I think I would have the Brewers and then the Cardinals. But it's going to be interesting to watch this division at the deadline, not just the top three, but also a team like the Cincinnati Reds, who have a pretty good run differential, but they're, what, 6.5 back in the division. And I don't think anyone really takes them seriously, despite having a good pitching staff. You know, if they decide to sell, all of a sudden the trade market's going to really come to Cincinnati's way because of the number of quality expiring veteran contracts they have. So, you know, this division, I think it's pretty up in the air with those top three teams. But don't be surprised if Cincinnati helps determine who exactly wins, not just this division, but some of the other division races in baseball.
RJ Anderson with us for just a few more minutes from CBS Sports. We mentioned now that it's June, paying attention to teams that are playing well. And let's talk about the team that's in second place in the American League Central behind the Twins. It's not the Indians at this point. The Chicago White Sox have actually been pretty fun to watch this season. Can they sustain this? Can they keep this up the rest of the summer?
Well, it depends on the progression of their younger players. You know, if you look at the run differential, they've overachieved a little bit this season. But at the same time, you know, they have some younger players who are seemingly coming into their own. I mean, Tim Anderson has been a revelation this season, and Yoan Moncada is taking steps toward being the star that everybody thought he would be when he was a prospect. And, you know, at the same time, they've also gotten some surprising contributions from guys like James McCann, who, frankly, I didn't really think much of him entering the year. And to his credit, he's turned it around. And then on the pitching staff, you know, Lucas Giolito changed his arm action, made it really short this offseason, kind of looks like Joe Kelly's. And, again, to his credit, it's seemingly worked for him. I mean, he's come out and he's looking like a front-of-the-rotation starter, and it's been years since anyone thought he would develop into that. So, you know, the rest of the roster is a lot of ugly numbers. I don't know if they're going to be able to hang on to second place, but they do look a lot more entertaining than they were in recent years, and potentially a lot more entertaining than they were supposed to be entering the season, which, again, is a credit to some of their young players taking steps forward.
You mentioned Lucas Giolito, and he's been awesome, but the rest of that pitching staff has been an absolute disaster. Is there a point where you see the White Sox, if they're at least sitting around 500 or within striking distance, where they think about bringing up their top pitching prospect, Dylan Cease, from AAA?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to do that this summer. And unfortunately for them, you know, they have had a number of their other top starting prospects injured. You know, Dan Dunning is out for the season, and Michael Kopech's obviously out for the season. So it's unfortunate because this season was supposed to be the ascent for these guys. They were supposed to reach the majors, and you were supposed to start looking toward 2020 as the year the White Sox get serious about contending again. But yeah, I would fully expect Cease to be up before the summer is out, and, you know, hopefully for his sake, he stays healthy.
RJ, the Major League Baseball draft is underway tonight with the first round. Do you have a favorite prospect in this year's draft? Adley Rutschman out of Oregon State and Bobby Witt Jr. kind of look like they're going to go 1-2 tonight, but do you have a personal favorite?
Yeah, I'm kind of a fan of Andrew Vaughn, the Cal first baseman who is still supposedly in consideration for the number one pick. You know, he was a guy who was undrafted a few years ago. He's a 6-foot-tall right first baseman, which doesn't necessarily make him a favorite of people who like positional value. And at the same time, you know, he's turned himself into a really good hitter, arguably the best in college baseball, despite not being drafted a few years ago, because he's really put a lot of time and effort into remaking his body. And You know, he's putting up video game numbers in a lineup where there isn't much else in there other than him. So testament to his hard work, and I think he's going to be a pretty good hitter pretty soon for whichever team drafts him tonight.
Now, I know he got a lot of recognition for being walked with the bases loaded on Friday night, but can the Orioles go any other direction than drafting the aforementioned Adley Rutschman out of Oregon State?
Yeah, I mean, right now there's still some mystery about what they intend to do, and you know, one of the top theories I've heard is they're probably considering taking someone like Vaughn if it means saving some money, which they can then use later in the draft. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if you look at Mike Elias's track record with Houston, that is something they did. They would take a supposedly lesser player, save some money, and then reinvest it later by taking someone who slips down the board due to draftability concerns, signability concerns.
RJ, we appreciate you joining us on the program. Enjoy the draft tonight, and maybe we'll touch base with you down the road later this season. Thanks a lot.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
RJ Anderson, you can give him a follow on Twitter, r_j_Anderson. RJ of CBS Sports, and again, the draft gets underway tonight. I think the first pick will be made at 6 o'clock tonight.
Do you think that the Orioles are a little bit worried about the last time they drafted a switch-hitting, super prospect catcher, Matt Wieters, that it didn't work out all that well? Because I just cannot imagine if half of the things that people say about Adley Rutschman are true, passing on a player like that.
Well, I was reading an article over the weekend that referred to Matt Wieters as a bust, and I don't know if you can necessarily call him. I know where you're going on this. I think this is only the second time Baltimore's had the number one overall pick in the draft. The other time was 1989 when they took Ben McDonald out of LSU, a starting pitcher who gave them some good years in the big leagues before arm problems derailed him. The movie Trouble with the Curve was on MLB Network over the weekend, and that movie's not fantastic. It's not great. My wife really likes it. I was indifferent on it. Clint Eastwood plays a Major League Baseball scout, and he has a line in there. They're talking about what to do with the number one overall pick, and I think it's the general manager. Somebody says, you don't even like this guy as a project. And Clint Eastwood's character says, you don't use the number one overall pick on a project. And you get the number one overall pick, you want to go with the sure thing. And I think there's no such thing as a can't-miss prospect. But this is the way that I would go. This is, to me, it's a two-player draft. Do you want the college guy or do you want the high school guy? Bobby Witt Jr. is a really impressive player, and I think the Kansas City Royals would be idiots if they didn't take Bobby Witt Jr. if he's there on the board. If you want to save some money, and he makes that point about Mike Elias and what they did with the Astros, I think back to the 2012 draft with Carlos Correa going number one overall. He was projected as a first-round pick, but not maybe 1-1. They take Correa. They save some money. They're able to sign guys like Lance McCullers Jr., Rio Ruiz, both of whom got to the major leagues. Ruiz is somebody they packaged off in a trade before he made his major league debut. If they want to go that route, fine. But the Orioles are in such bad shape right now. I think you take the guy that is probably the closest thing to a sure thing, and in this draft, it's Adley Rutschman. And even though he's a catcher, he's got a lot of things working for him. Seems to be a really impressive young man from everything that I've read and seen about him. That's the direction I would go in. Of course, I'm not running a Major League Baseball team or a scouting department. I'm sitting behind a microphone in Eastern Iowa, and we're allowed to do these things. I'm more interested in what's going to happen in the back end of the draft tonight. I think the Cardinals are at 19, and the Cubs are picking in the late 20s. There are no sure things at that point in the draft.
Well, the interesting thing is, a lot of times, yes, you're drafting a wild card, but every once in a while, a team at the top passes on one of those guys that's a high upside prospect because of signability concerns. And a Nolan Gorman or a Mike Trout or whoever falls into your lap. So that's sort of the curveball that the MLB draft uniquely has, as opposed to a lot of other drafts.
I'll go back to where we started with RJ, and that's the fact that Craig Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel are closer to being employed at this point in time. It's sort of a catch-22 because up until now, as of midnight last night, the draft pick compensation was tied to signing them, and teams didn't want to forfeit a draft pick. And now teams are looking at these guys going, well, it's June 3rd. It's going to take some time for these for them to get ready. We may not have them until July. They're not ready to go. It seems to me they've traded one problem for another set of problems. They're just looking for excuses not to sign and employ these guys right now. But if you're the Twins, I think you make a play for one of these guys. I know the dollars and cents have to match up. Keuchel has talked about being interested or open to more of a short-term deal. Kimbrel, I think, is looking for the type of money that he's been following, expecting all along. You're the best team in the American League right now, and on pace for 112 wins, if you can do something to solidify, and plus, I think that's a major selling point right now. If you're the Twins and you were trying to sell either one of these guys on coming to Target Field over the winter, there are probably better places to play, at least in a player's mind. Now you're looking going, this team is great. They're scoring a ton of runs. They're a fun bunch to be around. They're hitting all these home runs. Yeah, I want to go pitch there. So now I think Minnesota has more things working in its favor here. It's a matter of, do they want to open the checkbook, and would a move make sense? And I think it would. Unfortunately, it makes a lot of sense for other teams as well. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, if you want to use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. We got a lot more ground to cover. As a matter of fact, Kyle will be in the studio again in the 5 o'clock hour. He'll bring you another Big Board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Keep those texts and phone calls coming. Also in the 5 o'clock hour tonight, Chris Raby of KMOX in St. Louis will be with us. We will discuss the St. Louis Blues as they now trail the Boston Bruins 2-1 in the Stanley Cup Finals, and touch on the Cardinals and their weekend sweep of the Cubs with Chris. Back with more of the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on a Monday after this.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com.
It's gonna be the best day ever.
Member FDIC.
As a mechanic, you're always fixing things, tinkering, tweaking, making it perfect for somebody else. But when's the last time you fixed something that's not working in your life? Star Equipment wants to take care of an experienced mechanic like you. There's always full-time work, summer or winter, and they'll make sure you have plenty of time with your family too. Get the stability, pay, and benefits you deserve from a growing business that shares your values. Learn more online at starequip.com. Equal opportunity employer. Pre-employment drug test required.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're gonna let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, It's like getting full court coverage at half court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Need to wax your car but can't find the time? New 303 Touchless Sealant is the faster, better, smarter way. Spray on and rinse off. That's it. Get that Just Wax shine and protection in minutes, adding hours back into your day. The brilliant protective shine in 303 Touchless Sealant lasts up to 6 months, twice as long as traditional wax. It works great on glass and wheels, too. More protection and shine, less effort and time. Available at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Twins enjoying off day on the road in Cleveland before a three-game set with the Tribe begins on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym. 4:58, we welcome you back in. A quick in and out here as we close out the 4 o'clock hour. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. Also coming your way on 106.3 FM in Iowa City and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Online at kgymradio.com. Some baseball news to pass along out of the Big Ten Conference. Darren Erstad has resigned as head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, says he would like to, he would regret not spending more time watching his kids grow up. And there was some speculation that Erstad was on shaky ground. His seat was warm the last couple seasons. We talked about it here on this program. So that'll shake things up on the Big Ten baseball scene. No doubt we'll see. It's probably even too early to have a preliminary list of possible candidates there for the Huskers job. But Darren Erstad stepping down as head coach of the Huskers. And more Big Ten coaching news. This on the men's basketball front. Former St. Joe's head coach Phil Martelli, as was rumored, will be joining Juwan Howard's staff at Michigan. So Juwan Howard adding a very experienced head coach on his bench to help him in the Big Ten. 5 o'clock hour is coming up. It's June. Time to talk a little Major League Baseball. And Chris Raby of KMOX is with us to preview game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. It's all on the way after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Radio Sports Center.
Christine Lisi, this just in from ESPN's Adam Schefter. Former Buccaneers defensive tackle Jared McCoy signing with the Panthers, getting a one-year deal likely around $8.5 million. The Warriors hoping for positive news regarding swingman Klay Thompson. He left the win over the Raptors in Game 2 of the NBA Finals with tightness in his left hamstring. Had an MRI today. No word yet on the results. Whether he plays in Game 3 Wednesday depends on the severity of the injury, explains ESPN's Brian Windhorst.
The big thing here will be whether the MRI shows he can do more damage, because this is not an ankle you can play through. If he is risking it by playing, that will be a big factor. Klay is one of the toughest players in the league. If I were the Raptors, I would expect to see him in Game 3. How effective he'll be, that's a different conversation.
Golden State's Kevin Durant day-to-day with that calf injury. The Blues coming off an embarrassing 7-2 loss at home in Game 3, looking to bounce back in Game 4, the Stanley Cup Final tonight versus the Bruins. Some lineup changes coming for St. Louis, including the return of key defenseman Vince Dunn from injury. Blues are down 2-1.
Coming up Tuesday, we'll recap the Bruins-Blues Game 4 in the Stanley Cup Final, plus hammies, ankles, and calves aren't the only pressure point on the NBA Finals. Who's in, who's out, who's up next for Game 3? That and more Tuesday on Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final Boy Wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Today, business happens here, and virtually anywhere.
Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
Purchase your parts at O'ReillyAuto.com. You can pick it up in-store when it's convenient for you. Your parts, tools, or accessories will be waiting at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. No shipping cost, easy returns, and convenient pickup. Shop O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your next haircut now has a shortcut. Introducing the Sport Clips Haircuts app. That's right, now the cut you want is just a tap away. Just download the app, check in at your neighborhood Sport Clips, and choose your Guy Smart stylist, and you're done. We'll text you when your stylist is almost ready. Then head to Sport Clips for a championship haircut experience. It's home field advantage for your hair. No appointment needed. Just download the Sport Clips app and check in. And don't forget a beard trim. Sport Clips. You choose the cut, we cut the weight.
100 years of hard work can take you far, and no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up, and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
And it is 5:04. Welcome back, or welcome to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, as well as 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South and North Gyms, respectively. You can also find us online at kgymradio.com. Mondays on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by the good folks at Randy's Flooring. They've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years, and they're excited to partner with the UI Stead Children's Hospital, a big supporter of everything that they do at the Children's Hospital. And you can help contribute with select purchases from Randy's. Details online at randysflooring.com. A big thank you to RJ Anderson of CBS Sports, who is with us in hour number one of the program tonight. We've got Chris Raby of KMOX in St. Louis set to join us here in hour number two. Game four of the Stanley Cup Finals headed your way tonight here on KGYM as the Bruins look to take a 3-1 lead on the St. Louis Blues. Lots more ground to cover. The Major League Baseball draft gets underway at 6 o'clock. Poll question today, KGYMradio.com. Good idea that the Cy-Hawk series is extended through the 2025 season in football. Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway bringing you that poll question. You can find them on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. As we went to break, we brought you some coaching news, both from Big Ten baseball and basketball. Darren Erstad out as head coach at Nebraska. He is resigning. Phil Martelli, longtime St. Joe's head coach, now an assistant at Michigan. That was how we ended the 4 o'clock hour. We start the 5 o'clock hour with some breaking news. The Big Ten has a news conference tomorrow in Chicago where Jim Delaney's successor will be announced as commissioner of the Big Ten Conference. So I don't know who it's going to be at this point. I haven't seen any speculation as to whether or not someone has been chosen. Do we look eastward to see whether there's colored smoke in the sky? I believe that's how they know that a new pope has been chosen. But all we do here in this business is just hang out on Twitter and find out what's going on. So
it seems way more efficient than looking for smoke in the sky.
It does, and probably much healthier for the air quality. True. I don't think the EPA has to be involved. 319-366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use that to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. A lot going on today. We haven't even touched on the NBA Finals, but Golden State rebounding in Game 2, as many expected them to.
Really big missed opportunity for the Toronto Raptors.
That is an understatement.
This was their chance to go up 2-0, and Klay Thompson gets injured. Andre Iguodala is out there on one leg.
Iggy.
Kevin Durant is not playing. The Warriors had a pretty good surge in the second half, but I wouldn't say that they shot all that well last night. They made some very important shots. Draymond Green was pretty good throughout the course of the game, but they shot under 40%. And the Toronto Raptors just could not make them pay. And they almost had that mini run towards the end, and Andre Iguodala with that three-pointer with 6 seconds put it away. But that was the chance for Toronto to take a commanding lead in the series, head back to Oakland, up 2-0. Nothing is taken for granted in Oakland. Most people think that they will lose both games at Oracle Arena. But we don't know about the status for Klay Thompson, how healthy he's going to be. I assume he's going to play. I just thought Toronto had every opportunity to win that game. And unfortunately for them, shots were not falling in a very, very crucial situation.
We will see how things play out the rest of the way in the series. It's not like Kawhi Leonard has any distractions or anything at this point. It was announced today that he's suing Nike. Did you see this?
I did see that.
Design of the logo that he designed, and he says that Nike took it and trademarked it without his permission. So if you're a Raptors fan, maybe his attention isn't completely on the task at hand right now. But I agree with you. Missed opportunity for Toronto and Nick Nurse. They could have gone up 2-0, and boy, would ESPN's national radio have been buzzing if that were the case today. We'll get back to the NBA Finals in just a little bit, but 5:09, we are officially in the month of June, and we talked with RJ Anderson of CBS Sports in the 4 o'clock hour, but Alex, you sort of get the sense this is, to me, a lot like Christmas Day for the NBA, where Christmas Day rolls around and you start to have fans that begin paying a little bit closer attention to what's going on in the NBA. June 1st is sort of that time frame for Major League Baseball. You've got now 2 months of the season behind you, about a third of the way through the schedule. This is a good time to take a look at the standings. You've got a better read on where teams are, what they need to address. Is this a good time now to, I wouldn't necessarily say worry about your favorite team, but this is a good time to take stock, right? June 1st, today is June 3rd, know that.
It's a good time to take stock in what you have on your roster, right? And this is where people and teams start looking and saying, all right, well, the trade deadline is 2 months, just about 2 months away, a little less than 2 months away. Are we pretenders or contenders? That sounds like an awesome game that we could have on the program.
Still not pretenders as good as the one I ripped off from Tyler. Start, sit, cut.
Start, sit, cut. We could do that with these teams. You want to? Are you starting them? Are you sitting them? Are you cutting them from playoff contention? But as I was saying, you start looking and asking yourself, all right, what do we need? Where do we need to improve, and do we have the resources in our farm system to help our team right now, or do we need to look outside for help? And I think that just based on the NL Central, I know that that's what we have a lot of NL Central fans of NL Central teams in this area. I think all three teams at the top are going to be looking for a little bit of help. And I do want to point out, as RJ did during his interview, the Cincinnati Reds have been incredibly unlucky through 2 months. A plus 36 run differential, and they're 5 games under .500. I think their lineup is very good, And I honestly think that that's a team that come July or August, their fortunes could turn around. I'm not ready to say that they're a playoff contender, but those are the types of teams right there. The Reds, the Pirates, some of these teams, the Rockies in other divisions, the Rays and the Red Sox. How much of a chance do we have at the division? How much of a chance do we have at a wild card spot? And what do we need to do to get there?
Well, here's a little news from the National League Central that I think should raise an eyebrow or two, especially if you are a fan of the Milwaukee Brewers. You know I'm a big fan of Keston Hira
out
of UC Irvine, who has been one of the better rookies over the last 3 weeks since he was called up from AAA. The Brewers needed to make room for Travis Shaw, and so they're sending Keston Hira back to AAA. This kid did nothing but rake when they brought him up, and they are denying steadfastly that this has to do with manipulating his service time. But I can't see this as any other reasoning behind this. He was hitting .281 with 5 home runs and a stolen base in 17 games. He gets sent down. Shaw comes back. He's got 4 home runs too, and a .163 batting average. The Brewers are manipulating this kid's service time, and shame on them. And I, not that I need a reason to root against the Brewers here, but I thought maybe with the way that the Padres were handling things that the light was at the end of the tunnel as far as if you've got young players that can help you win now, bring them up and play them at the major league level. There's no doubt in my mind, I watched plenty of Keston Hira over the last couple weeks. That kid deserves to be in the big leagues. He should not be in San Antonio, Texas, where the Brewers are spending their first year as a AAA affiliate of the Missions.
Now, the service time is 18 games, correct? Is that the amount of games?
It's, I think it floats depending on... The Super 2 status is what matters here, where a player can become eligible for arbitration earlier than normal by one season, and that's what seems to be at play here. The Cubs famously did this with Chris Bryant, where they kept him in Des Moines for the first 2 weeks of the season in 2015 before they brought him up and was in the major leagues to stay. Baseball is a business. Get a good reminder of that on an almost daily basis. And we're talking about Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrel, who the only reason that they haven't signed until today is the fact that until midnight last night, if a team signed them, they were going to lose a draft pick in compensation for signing these guys. Now the draft pick is off the table, and now it's just dollars and cents. And there are a lot of teams out there, you think it makes sense for them to go after a Dallas Keuchel or a Craig Kimbrel. One of those teams is playing right now at Wrigley Field, the Cubs beating the Angels in a makeup game, currently 6-0 in the top of the seventh inning. John Lester spinning a gem today against the Angels, who have to, I believe, fly back to the West Coast after this. At least the Cubs get to remain at home in the friendly confines of Wrigley Field as the Rockies come to town to begin the regularly scheduled series tomorrow night. The Hira stuff sidetracked me. We were talking baseball here in the segment anyway, but I don't understand sometimes why
that's
a kid comes
team.
Up. That is a contending team and a guy that very clearly can help you and did help you over the last couple weeks. And he gets sent down. It's one thing if you want to do this at the beginning of the season. And the Blue Jays did this with Vladimir Guerrero. I'm not a fan of this, but stick a guy in the minor leagues until April 30th or May 3rd, whenever you feel confident that you've manipulated things enough so that you're not going to get caught by a game 163. Don't do this in the middle of the season, where you bring a guy up and then send a guy down when his performance merits that he stays in the major leagues.
I even broke it down. We talked about Vlad Guerrero Jr. one day that you missed a couple of weeks ago, and I think a lot of Blue Jays fans right now are looking and saying, does he really need to be up on this team in this losing culture? And couldn't he be in AAA getting some more at bats and not being a part of a 21-38 team? I understand that argument. But in this situation, a team in first place, a guy that's ready to be in the major leagues and is on a winning team, how can you chalk this up as to anything other than service time? You can't make a justification one way or another as to why you're sending him down to AAA other than the reason that we just laid out.
He cannot come back to the major leagues for the next 2 weeks. Or 10 days. I think it's 10 days at a minimum, unless there is another injury that would force their hand where they could bring him back. And not that I'm wishing that on anybody, but if you're a fantasy baseball player out there, Keston Hiura is going to be a big-time loss for you. If it's a weekly league in which you set your lineups on Monday, get him out of there before the Brewers wind up playing their first game tomorrow. 319-366-1600. The Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line as we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight. We've got two great giveaways for you all week long here on the program, and we're going to get to one of those in about 20 minutes or so. Chris Raby of KMOX will stop by in the meantime. After we chat with Chris, we'll give you a chance to take home a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. There are three locations. La Cantina has one in Marion and two in Cedar Rapids, one in downtown, and one in the Fountains off Edgewood. LaCantina319.com is the website to check out. Also, tickets to see Gabriel Iglesias, the comedian, coming to the Iowa State Fair in August. And you can go on us. We'll have your chance inside the 6 o'clock hour. Kyle's going to come and give you a big board update here momentarily as Chris Raby of KMOX is with us in just a handful of minutes. Chris handles pre- and post-game coverage not only for the St. Louis Cardinals on the flagship station, but also the St. Louis Blues, who trail Boston 2-1 in the Stanley Cup Finals. Game 4 is tonight at the Enterprise Center. Did you notice the flag as part of the color guard when you were there?
No, I did not. I was standing right above it, but
The Blues are coming in the crosshairs of some folks online today because during the national anthem, they had a color guard on the ice with a number of flags. There was the United States flag. There was the state flag of Missouri, I believe. St. Louis, the city of St. Louis has a flag, correct?
Yes, it does.
And there were two other flags out there. One of them was a Blues flag, and then one of them was the flag bearing the logo of Enterprise Rent-A-Car, that's why it's the Enterprise Center. Enterprise is located in St. Louis, and you've got a whole lot of people out there that are thinking it's a little ridiculous that they're part of the color guard.
Yeah, probably.
Probably. Not a huge, huge deal, but it's also not a very good look. And as you can imagine, it is 2019. So even the slightest hint of something that people don't like online has now blown up.
If it's deemed unpatriotic, it's going to blow up.
I think it was not necessarily unpatriotic, just sort of in bad taste.
Yeah, I can see that.
But
I don't know.
Iowa got hit with this a couple years ago at Kinnick Stadium when they put in the ribbon boards, and I think it was Nationwide Insurance sponsors the national anthem, and people were like, do we really need to go that far that we need a sponsor and we need to sell advertising during the national anthem? And I think they've at least scaled that back to a certain point. Wonder if that was in the naming rights deal. We'll give you millions of dollars a year.
National anthem.
Kyle, you ready with your big board?
Indeed, I am.
Kyle's going to bring you a big board update presented by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out in Iowa City at their temporary location or at the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
Gary Barta and Jamie Pollard issued a joint announcement this morning that the Iowa Corn Cyhawk Series football game has been extended to exist through 2025, tacking on an additional 2 years to the existing agreement. The teams first played in 1894 and have met every year since 1977. This year's game will be in Ames on September 14th. The Hawkeyes got their first commitment in the class of 2021 yesterday evening, and Iowa Director of Recruiting Tyler Barnes proved he's going to be a worthy follow on Twitter. At 8:03, he tweeted, quote, "Nothing like starting off Swarm 21 with a bang, with a video of a small child dunking over a smaller child on a Nerf hoop, and then just over an hour later, offensive lineman Jennings Dunker committed out of Illinois. 24/7 gives the 6'4", 265-pound junior to be three stars. The MLB draft is starting tonight, and although nobody's likely to be selected tonight, it'll be something to keep an eye on for Iowa baseball fans in the coming days. Senior Cole McDonald's pretty likely to be selected, but Dargan Southard pinpointed another couple guys to pay attention to. Those are junior catcher Austin Martin and redshirt freshman Connor McCaffrey. He points out it's highly unlikely McCaffrey would leave school, but he is the Hawkeyes' highest-ranked player, according to Baseball America. The Colonels took 2 of 3 in Beloit over the weekend to reach the 500 mark on the season. They're off today before starting the second half of a 2-week road trip in Clinton tomorrow. And tonight after the show, we'll have the Blues trying to bounce back from a Game 3 shellacking. It's Game 4 from St. Louis on all three KGYM frequencies.
Three former Hawkeyes on the College Football Hall of Fame ballot this year. Andre Tippett, as well as Tim Dwight and Dallas Clark. The voting takes place over the summer. Good luck, hopefully. One of those guys will be enshrined at some point. And the Division III World Series matchup is set here in Cedar Rapids at Veterans Memorial Stadium. It's going to be Birmingham Southern, the only team undefeated so far in the field, taking on Chapman beginning tomorrow in the best-of-three series. Play got underway Friday at Veterans Memorial Stadium, and Cedar Rapids has been a pretty wonderful host for that event, the first of 4 years on the contract. So congratulations to everybody involved in that event. We'll be talking a little bit more about it in the coming days here. But D3 World Series, if you get an opportunity, head on over to Veterans Memorial Stadium tomorrow and check out some great baseball. The top play on SportsCenter Saturday night was a diving catch. I was actually there for the catch by the Heidelberg center fielder, very Byron Buxton-esque, diving, laying out, and making the catch. It was very big league quality. So there, I know there's folks out there that don't think much of Division III athletics, but I'm a big baseball fan. And tell you what, that was some damn good baseball on Saturday at Veterans Memorial Stadium. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, as promised, Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals is tonight in St. Louis. Chris Raby of KMOX will be there before and after on the flagship station, KMOX, and he joins us next.
It'd be nice to carry Lynn County REC around in your pocket, huh? You know, if you want to pay your bill.
It's right here in my pocket.
Want to check how much energy you're using any time of any day?
I'll just reach into my pocket.
Report an outage.
In my pocket.
Energy rebates are the latest from Lynn County REC. You guessed it.
Pocket.
It's that simple. All you need is the Lynn County REC Smart Hub app. Then you can pay your bill, check your daily energy use, report an outage, etc. right from the phone in your pocket.
In my pocket.
If you're app savvy, just pick it up in the Apple app or Google Play Store. And if you'd like step-by-step instructions, that's a snap too. Get them at lynncountyrec.com, or even easier, hit up YouTube and watch Lynn County REC's Smart Hub video. Once you've got it ready to go, everything you need from Lynn County REC is right there in your pocket.
Pocket.
See how easy that is? The Lynn County REC Smart Hub app. Another one of the handy benefits of membership with Lynn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away.
but it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Trying to take back your space and have old appliances, grills, and lawnmowers that don't work anymore and old tires in your garage or basement? Bring them to the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. Starting July 1st, appliances, scrap metal, and tires will only be accepted at 1954 County Home Road in Marion, the same location as the landfill and resource recovery building, so you can take care of all your disposal and recycling in one trip. Some items have a drop-off fee, so get pricing and other details at Solid Waste Agency.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired, but your guests do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Drywall, painting, general carpentry, kitchens, countertops, and alterations, and remodeling to business properties. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
See their work and get in touch at jacksonremodel.com.
Twins enjoy an off day on the road in Cleveland before a three-game set with the Tribe begins on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Monday, presented by the good folks at Randy's Flooring. You can check them out in Cedar Rapids and on the Strip in Coralville, Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. 5 o'clock hour rolling right along as Alex gears up for... You're not wearing any Blues gear tonight.
I'm not.
For game four. Are you going with a reverse jinx?
What'd you
have on for game three? What'd you wear to game three?
I wore my Tarasenko sweater, so that's
Burn
off.
It.
That's
Burn
gone.
It.
I think I'm going to go back to the Turgeon 1999 vintage assistant captain sweater because the Tarasenko, it didn't work.
Let's talk game four of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. 7 o'clock at the Enterprise Center in St. Louis. Boston leading 2-1 after that performance over the weekend. Chris Raby of KMOX in St. Louis is with us on the phone lines now. And Chris, seems like a pretty easy question to answer. I have a feeling I know where you're going to go with this, but what do the Blues need to do differently tonight to avoid a repeat of Saturday?
Yeah, guys, more than anything, just stay out of the penalty box, right? And, you know, I think that I was trying to remember as we started the interview the last time we spoke, if it was maybe at the beginning of the San Jose series a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I think for the most part, the Blues have done a really good job of self-correcting and identifying issues and, you know, moving on from them. And I guess glass half empty would be you can't take the amount of penalties that they've taken and allow Boston to run around in the power play. And the Bruins scored 4 power play goals on four shots. They scored in their first shot of each of the 4 power plays last game. But glass half full would be, well, from a, you know, discipline standpoint, the Blues are the least penalized team in the NHL through the first 3 rounds of the playoffs. And you would think that that's a correctable fix. It's, you know, not necessarily an issue of just being badly outplayed by Boston. I think the Bruins are perhaps a different caliber of team than even San Jose. But, you know, I think it's something that the Blues were able to identify and hopefully we'll be able to fix tonight.
Obviously staying out of the box, the most important thing, but Craig Berube, the head coach for the Blues, came out and said that he wasn't all that sure that all of them were penalties. Were you surprised to see a little bit of gamesmanship from Berube?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, just because that hasn't been their MO to this point in the playoffs. And, you know, I guess if he's going to go to those lengths to speak about it, then I guess you've got to assume that he really feels strongly about it. But, you know, regardless of penalties called or penalties not called, you know, I tend to think that over the course of a series, those things generally even out. I think there have been a couple of pretty soft calls that have gone against Boston to this point of the series. So if you're the Blues, you've just got to worry about yourselves, right? Like, you just have to make sure that you're not putting yourself in a position where the officials can call those kinds of penalties, especially in the offensive zone, especially, excuse me, in a couple of instances like they had in game three when it seemed like you were grabbing some momentum and then, boom, all of a sudden, whether you're on a power play or you just scored a goal you then take a penalty and don't really give the officials a choice but to call it. So, you know, we can debate all day long whether a penalty is actually legitimate or not. Hindsight is always 20/20, especially in hockey with the benefit of replay and slowing things down frame by frame. But, you know, the Blues have done a really good job to this point of just worrying about themselves and taking care of their own business, and I expect more of that tonight.
KMOX Radio's Chris Raby with us from St. Louis ahead of Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals at the Enterprise Center. What can Jordan Binnington do to bounce back tonight?
I think just be Jordan Binnington. You know, he's been so incredible in these bounce back games. We see the numbers. I guess the last time we talked, it was after a loss as well. And, you know, Binnington's numbers are just impeccable when it comes to games after a loss, both in the regular season and the postseason. Save percentage of right around 940, a goals against average of right around 1.8. You know, last game was the first time that he's been pulled in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I believe since he's been really the Blues starter, was the first action Jake Allen had seen since the first week of April. And believe it or not, it was the first home game that Jake Allen had appeared in at any point since January 8th. And that's the day after Binnington made his first start in Philly against the Flyers. So I think that just shows you how good Binnington's been, how durable he's been, how reliable he's been. I liked the fact that, you know, after it was 3-0, after it was 4-0, Craig Berube stuck with Binnington. But then I think everyone realized it was time for him to get out of there. And, you know, Jake Allen has been a really important part of this team. And, you know, at least in some respects, kept the Blues in it a bit the other night. And, you know, they go right back to Binnington. I loved that Berube said that right off the bat yesterday. There was no gray area. There was no question. It was Jordan Binnington's going back in the net. And he has responded every single opportunity that he's had to respond throughout the last 6 months, and I think that we can expect the same tonight.
A lot of times when you ask the Blues players or Craig Berube what the difference is between the splits at home and on the road, why they've been so much better on the road, is that the sometimes the home crowd, the energy can get you a little bit over emotional. I was in the building on Saturday night. Everyone's in the stands.
Oh, nice.
An hour before the game, the intros were unbelievable. The energy was unbelievable. Could you sense maybe a little bit of overexcitement?
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, I think that especially in any sport, but especially baseball, hockey, or basketball, when there's a series, when you play that first home game in each building and there's a little bit extra pomp and circumstance and there's the lineups and there's, you know, everything that goes into it, you know, maybe your timing or your rhythm is a little bit off. I know that the video production and all of that, they do that every game, and the guys are back in the dressing room for that. But, you know, maybe there's something to that. I'm sure that it's only human nature, guys, that if any of us are doing anything, whether it's playing the Stanley Cup final game or whether it was a little league game, or, you know, I did play a mean trombone growing up. If your family is in the crowd or in the stands watching you and your friends and family are there, there's a little extra pressure, right? Like, that's just human nature. And I know that athletes can say all the right things about, you know, once the puck drops or once the ball goes up or once the first pitch is thrown, it's just a different game. But, Alex, you know, from being there, these are not just another game, you know? Like,
no.
These games are emotional, and they're emotional from the start, and more so than, you know, any sporting event I've ever had the privilege of being a part of. So, yeah, maybe there's something to that. I think the second part is, you know, the cliche answer is, well, we keep it simple on the road. And I've asked guys, like, I sat down with Alex Pietrangelo. I'm like, well, why can't you keep it simple at home? And he's like, you know, I don't know. And maybe that's just human nature. Maybe that's the way we are as human beings sometimes. But I do think the crowd will be great tonight. You know, with all that being said, I guess the Blues got off to a really, really good start in Game 3. Like, I'm not sure they could have drawn it up any better. You go on the power play a minute in, get the first five shots on goal. The first 5 minutes, I was thinking, man, they can grab control of this game. It's just, it's not the way it happened. Similar to, you know, Boston maybe controlling the start of game two and then the Blues jumping on them. So I hope the building's an asset tonight. And just selfishly as a sports fan, I just, you know, I can't wait to be in there.
How does having Oscar Sundquist back affect things this evening for St. Louis?
Yeah, I think it helps a lot. He's obviously one of their best penalty killers, so I imagine it was, you know, tough for him to watch all of that transpire as he was up in the press box watching from above. But he's been one of their most consistent players. He's been, you know, just a guy who has played in every situation for them. He's done everything for them. He's kind of been, you know, the Swiss Army knife for Craig Berube, and he's provided some of the most steady minutes on the entire team. So have been really impressed with Oscar, especially, you know, the way he was a little bit overlooked, I guess, at the start of the season. And I've just been really happy for him. I know that it just absolutely crushed him to not be in that game the other night. And you probably at some level feel like you let your team down a little bit. But, you know, he's been such an important part of this team. And I thought Zach Sanford played really, really well. And, you know, Oscar will get his chance to get back in and make a difference tonight.
On that same token, Vince Dunn returning to the lineup for the first time since the San Jose series, where he took that puck off the jaw, battling that broken jaw. How important is his entry back into the lineup, especially on the power play?
Yeah, I think really important. And, you know, one thing that Vince does really, really well is control the puck and make smart plays with the puck. And for a power play that has oftentimes really struggled at its core to even get into the offensive zone and get set up, that's really where Vince is an incredible asset. And I thought that, you know, going back to last year, but this year especially, when they put Vince up on that first power play unit and when they really gave him a little more freedom, almost like Kevin Shattenkirk used to captain that unit, we really saw his play offensively start to develop. So I'm really happy for him. I'm sure, again, like Sundquist, obviously different circumstances, but I'm sure it's just been brutal to sit and watch and not be able to play these last handful of games, because as a player, this is all you've worked for your whole life and you've been such a big part of it. And then, you know, all of a sudden you're sidelined with an injury and all you can really do is wait. You know, he said today that with the mouth injury, even eating is a challenge and you can't just drink shakes all day. So, you know, just the frustrations of little things like trying to get enough calories and trying to get enough nutrition because of how grueling and taxing this game is has been something they've really, really had to work on. So I know it's been a group effort to try and do everything to get Vince back in. And I know he's ready to go. And I think he'll have a huge impact and a huge game tonight.
You mentioned that Craig Berube isn't a guy that necessarily goes after the officials. That's not his MO. Also not his MO, line juggling. What did you make of the slight changes made to the lineup here this evening?
Yeah, I think that, you know, one thing we've seen from Craig is that while he won't necessarily be a guy to switch things up every other game or search for different combinations, or, you know, it seemed like Hitchcock sometimes, basically as the puck was dropped, we were seeing guys shift it around. I do think Craig has been proactive in listening to feedback from everyone and then asserting that feedback in productive ways. And I like the opportunity for Zach Sanford to move up with Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron, at least for the start of the game. Robbie Fabry just, you know, he's trying and he's working his tail off, but, you know, I think Sanford maybe gives them a little bit more of what they need and a little bit more of maybe what O'Reilly and Perron need. I think Sanford had one of the best games of any Blue on Saturday. I think conversely, you know, having Sammy Blais with Bozak and Maroon is something that has worked really well. You know, we've seen him be very open to moving things around, but if it makes sense, not overreacting. So I think to that, some of the changes tonight could end up being a big advantage, especially at home. You know, there's a reason he wants Sanford with O'Reilly and Perron, and they're going to match that line up probably against the Bergeron line, because the Bergeron line really started to get going. And if you can get some physicality and if you can get, you know, some back checking working from your forwards, you know, I think we'll probably see these same combinations throughout the course of the evening. But you never know. And he can always shorten things up and he can always move things around if you're chasing the game a little bit. But, you know, I think more than anything, the confidence in Berube to stick with Sanford, a guy who hadn't played since game 3 of the Winnipeg series, says a lot about you know, his trust in his team and what he believes in the guys that he's putting out there. So I'm excited to see what especially that line can do tonight.
Switching from hockey to baseball with Chris Raby of KMOX, I would be accused of being a homer if I didn't bring this up with you. So the Cardinals swept the Cubs this weekend. That's got to be a pretty good way to start June for Mike Shildt and company.
I thought it was funny. I saw, WGN broadcast had the playing on the Chris Bryant boring comments, which, by the way, I think are awesome. Anytime you have a little good-natured ribbing back and forth with a couple of fan bases, it's great stuff. But I saw it was, a list of things to do in St. Louis, and it was just completely blank. And, win a game was not on that list appropriately. So for the Cardinals, a huge weekend. Just as I don't think the Cardinals will overreact, I don't think the Cubs will overreact. But the Cardinals needed this badly. They had such a bad month of May. And luckily, somehow, because of how well they played, and I guess the rest of the division may be coming back to earth, they were still kind of, hanging around last week. And I know it's just barely June, guys. So, again, we won't overreact to three or four games. But, you look at this weekend, and if it had gone the other way, if it had gone like it had gone in Chicago, then you could be talking about a Cardinals team that was four games under 500, that was maybe at the bottom of the division, or maybe a half game in front of the Cincinnati Reds, which, they were only a game in front of the Reds last week. I saw a stat last week that the last time the Cardinals have spent even a single day in last place after Memorial Day was 1999. So for now, you fend that off. But, I think for them, maybe answered a couple of questions about some of the starting pitching that they have, about their bullpen, and about some of the guys that they brought in for specific roles. Andrew Miller, who is going to this year, if the Cardinals want to have a shot in this division, he's going to have to get Anthony Rizzo out. He's going to have to get Kyle Schwarber out. Adam Wainwright, if the Cardinals are going to do something in this division, they could really use some big innings from him. They got those. They're going to need some big hits, and maybe more than anything, they're going to need great defense, because that's been what has really separated the Cubs and really last year the Brewers from the Cardinals. And they got that. It took some pressure off the pitching. And, I don't know how big, again, you can say a series is in May, but for the Cardinals, it's as big as can be, because to get back above 500 and maybe get things rolling now with Cincinnati coming to town is just at about the nick of time.
Chris, before we let you go, it looks like there may be an opening in the rotation next weekend, or this coming weekend, I should say. Chances that we see Alex Reyes return from the minor leagues?
Yeah, we could. I know that he got banged around a little bit in Memphis yesterday, but for Alex, I think they're just happy that he's healthy again and he's throwing regularly. They could go back to Hennessy Cabrera. Austin Gomber, if he's healthy, could be an option as well. I think it'll be someone that's on the 40-man, so I'm not sure. I know yesterday before the game, Shildt didn't rule out Reyes, and, as fans, I'm sure we look at the box score and, analyze Reyes giving up whatever he gave up in Memphis yesterday. It wasn't great if folks didn't see it, but, the front office and the guys making the decisions, I think, take a much wider lens when they evaluate Reyes and what a player like he could give to the club. So, at Wrigley, obviously, next weekend, and not for the faint of heart, a high pressure environment. It'll be another huge series, and personally, I think Reyes probably has the most upside, but we'll see what they decide.
Chris, fantastic having you with us as always, and enjoy game four tonight. Let's see if the Blues can turn it around and even the series.
Absolutely. And Alex, if you get back for a game, hit me up, man. Come on.
I will do that. Thanks, Chris.
All right, guys, anytime. Thanks.
Chris Raby, KMOX Radio in St. Louis, handles pre- and post-game coverage for the Blues as well as the Cardinals.
I will not be going to any more hockey games this year.
I said this earlier.
I'm not doing it.
I said it at the beginning of the program today. You got my Game 4 World Series experience. But I don't know if I've ever felt lower leaving a building than I did Wrigley Field after that game.
I'm with you on that one.
Cubs won the World Series.
That's
Cubs
true.
Turned it around and won the World Series. So it's not over yet. A victory tonight by the Blues would go a long way toward making everybody down there feel better. And he pointed out Jordan Binnington's response coming off a loss. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, he's 6-2 with a 1.84 goals against average, stopping 93% of shots in a game coming off a loss. He's been absolutely outstanding. I believe in the regular season he was 12-2-0 coming off a loss as well. So he seems to be a guy who really bounces back, but 5 goals on 19 shots Saturday.
4 goals on 4 power plays on 4 shots. That's all I have to say about game 3.
In what, 2 minutes or something like
yes.
that? Boston went on the power play and it was over. Boom, they'd score.
There is no mystery as to how Boston has been able to take control of the 2 games that they have won. And it has been on the power play. And it's strange because you say, okay, well, if they keep them out of the box, maybe they have a good chance of winning this series. I think both these teams are pretty evenly matched 5-on-5. I may even give the Blues a slight advantage in that category. But the glass half empty, people will say, if you continue to take penalties, the series is going to get away from you in a big-time hurry. But it's 2-1 as it stands right now. And no matter how much, like you said, Todd, I felt as though they lost 3 games in just one night. It felt like more than just one loss with the way that they lost that game. It was, in fact, just one loss. I was sure to check that for sure.
We've got a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. We're going to hook you up with that right now if you're caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. Caller number 6 is going to take home our $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. 3 locations across the corridor area. 1 in Marion, 2 here in Cedar Rapids, including the one downtown across from the U.S. Cellular Center. And stick with us, because coming up in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, we've got tickets to see Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy, coming to the Iowa State Fair later on this summer. August 14th, I believe, is the date for that show. We've got your tickets. You can go on us. You just need to be listening in the 3rd and final hour tonight. 319-366-1600, La Cantina gift card, though. Kyle, La Cantina gift card to caller number 6 right now. We'll be back with more, including a big board update with Kyle after this.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer, all the other 4-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
For every step of achievement, Christopher Michael Jones. For every joy-filled laugh. For every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day ever. Member FDIC.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. The 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
Finding a new job is a lot of work. What if you had your own personal recruiter to help you find a better job? Now ZipRecruiter's technology can do that for you. Just download the ZipRecruiter app, let it know what kind of jobs you're interested in, and it puts your profile in front of employers. If an employer likes your profile, ZipRecruiter lets you know. So if you're interested in the job, you can apply. My listeners should download the free #1 rated ZipRecruiter job search app today and let the power of technology work for you.
Sagatier, we all have home projects we put off for too long. What's stopping you? For lots of people, they worry about overpaying and not getting a fair price. That's where Home Advisor can help. Their true cost guide shows you what others paid for similar projects. Then you can get matched with top-rated pros, read reviews, request quotes, and book appointments all for free. Home Advisor makes it easy to get those projects done so you can relax this summer. To find the right pro at a fair price, just ask Home Advisor. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app.
Oh, wow, Bob, that's a lot of work.
What?
You're waxing your car the old-fashioned way. Why?
Because I want the look, the protection, you know.
Well, now there's a better way. 303 Touchless Sealant. Spray on and rinse off. You're done in minutes. And it lasts longer than the wax you'll be pushing around your hood all afternoon.
Sold.
303 Touchless Sealant it is. Hey, where are you going?
Everywhere, Bob. It's a beautiful day. 303 Touchless Sealant. All the protection and shine in no time. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
5:52, welcome back in. It is a Monday on the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Randy's Flooring. They've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years, a whole lot more than just carpets, hardwood flooring, laminate. They've even got window coverings. You can check everything out online at randysflooring.com or at one of their corridor showrooms in Cedar Rapids or on the Strip in Coralville. No speculation online yet as to who the successor to Jim Delaney will be.
It's pretty surprising to me.
I know people kicked around a few names a while ago. Somebody asked on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line if Bob Bowlsby was a candidate. Bowlsby, the commissioner of the Big 12, I don't think he's in any hurry to leave that capacity to take over the Big 10. I've heard Jim Phillips at Northwestern has been the name most commonly thrown around as a possibility. I think that would be an outstanding choice. Whoever takes over for Jim Delaney, and if you're just joining us, the news conference scheduled for tomorrow at the Big Ten offices in Chicago, Jim Delaney will serve out the remainder of his term as commissioner, and then we'll find out tomorrow who will be taking over for him. But no speculation so far online as to who the new commissioner could be. So kudos to the Big Ten for keeping things under wraps. The folks at Stadium have released some information on the bowl lineups for college football in 2020 and beyond. Much of this we knew. I think the Cheez-It Bowl is new information on the Big Ten front, but the Big Ten, after this coming season, so we're talking 2020, not the 2019 season, but the Big Ten will have 9 bowls in its lineup, highlighted, of course, by the Rose Bowl, and then the Citrus and Outback Bowl. Nothing changes there at the among the top 3. And then you go either the Las Vegas Bowl or the Belk Bowl. We've discussed this on the program. I believe Brett McMurphy had this news several months ago, that the Big Ten was going to be entering into these games. So the Tax Slayer is out, as is the Tax Slayer is out, replaced by the Vegas Bowl and the Belk Bowl. Vegas Bowl is a Pac-12 matchup. The Belk Bowl would be an ACC opponent. And then you've got the Music City against an SEC team, the Pinstripe against the ACC. Nothing changes there. The Red Box Bowl against a Pac-12 team. A minor change with the Quick Lane Bowl. That is the former Little Caesars Bowl in Detroit. The AAC is in as the opponent there instead of the ACC. And the Big Ten rounds out its bowl lineup with the Cheez-It Bowl, which I believe is the former Insight Bowl. Iowa and Iowa State have both played in that. That is back to being a Big Ten, Big 12 matchup there. 7 bowls for the Big 12 in 2020 through 2025. Again, these are in 6-year increments. The Sugar Bowl, the Alamo, remains number 2 for the Big 12. Camping World remains number 3, followed by Texas, Liberty, the Cheez-It Bowl, and the Armed Forces Bowl. No changes. Everything is status quo for the Big 12 moving forward. 319-366-1600. So changes all around today. Big Ten will announce Jim Delaney's successor tomorrow in a news conference, and a little bit of college football news leaking today. That's the national college football news. The local college football news, if you haven't heard, the Cy-Hawks series extended through 2025. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's on tap in the 6 o'clock hour. Back with more after this.
Stugatz here. We all have home projects we put off for too long. What's stopping you? For lots of people, they worry about overpaying and not getting a fair price. That's where Home Advisor can help. Their true cost guide shows you what others paid for similar projects. Then you can get matched with top-rated pros, read reviews, request quotes, and book appointments all for free. Home Advisor makes it easy to get those projects done so you can relax this summer. To find the right pro at a fair price, just ask Home Advisor. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available at Pet Boys.
Is it a good idea to extend the Cyclone and Hawkeye football series through 2025? That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. You can swing by and vote. The poll question brought to you by Emol's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. Only four baseball games today. Major League Baseball trying to allow the draft to take center stage. Three of those games were previously scheduled for today. The fourth, the one that's going on right now, was a makeup game from the April 14th snow out in Chicago. The Angels and Cubs playing at Wrigley Field. They're now in the bottom of the eighth inning, and the Cubs have a commanding 8-1 lead in that contest. So it looks like the Cubs will pick up a victory and get off the schneid after struggling over the weekend in St. Louis, including that weather delay Saturday night. You went to the hockey game, you had a miserable experience, and then did you hear, oh, hey, the Cubs-Cardinals game, they're still going to try to play this? Did you go watch it at a bar? Or?
It wasn't even on my mind, honestly. Whoa. I just noticed that the weather was horrible, hail was dropping, and people were freaking out, and the night poetically just turned kind of sour, so I got out of downtown within half hour and I was home. It was a long day.
Wasn't on the mind of the local TV station here either, who decided not to pick up the resumption of play. I stayed up to watch Gordon Ramsay yell at little kids. Hour number three on the way next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Christine Lisi. The Blues down 2-1 and coming off an embarrassing 7-2 loss at home, making some changes for Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight versus the Bruins. Smooth skating defenseman Vince Dunn back from injury. Forward Oscar Sundquist, a key penalty killer, returns from his 1-game suspension. There will be no shakeup, however, in net. Jordan Binnington, pulled after giving up 5 goals on 19 shots Saturday night, starts tonight. He's 12-2 after losses in his career, and this evening is a barometer for the 25-year-old, says ESPN's Barry Melrose.
I see this as a measuring stick for Jordan Binnington. I see a young goaltender get pulled for the first time in his playoff career. That's certainly going to shake him up a little bit. It's a must-win. You've got to win this game. You cannot fall down 3-1. And the guy is under a tremendous amount of pressure. So this is a huge game for that young goaltender of the St. Louis Blues.
This postseason, Boston has won 7 straight road games. The Blues, 5-6 at home. Warriors swingman Klay Thompson underwent an MRI today, one day after leaving the win in Game 2 of the NBA Finals in Toronto with tightness in the hamstring. Results should be known later tonight. Forward Kevin Durant with a calf injury remains day-to-day. NFL, ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting. Former Buccaneers defensive tackle Gerald McCoy signing with the Panthers, so he's staying in the division. One-year deal worth about $8.5 million. Michigan basketball coach Juwan Howard has hired former St. Joe's head coach Phil Martelli as an assistant coach. And top seed Oklahoma will face number 2 UCLA in the opener of the championship series of the Women's College World Series. First pitch, bottom of the hour, ESPN TV and the ESPN app.
Coming up Tuesday, we'll recap the Bruins-Blues Game 4 in the Stanley Cup Final. Plus, Hammies, ankles, and calves aren't the only pressure point on the NBA Finals. Who's in? Who's out? Who's up next for Game 3? That and more Tuesday on Golic and Winga. 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
At Fidelity, we believe nothing should come between you and your money. So we're introducing zero account fees with zero minimums to open an account. All because we want you to invest with zero trade-offs. Visit fidelity.com/value to learn more. Zero account minimums and zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Expenses charged by investments such as funds and managed accounts and for commissions, interest charges, or other expenses for transactions may still apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
Let's talk about Chad. Last year, he was working two jobs, trying to make ends meet, barely staying above water. In February, Chad started his information technology career, making more money, doing something he loves. Don't love what you do? Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Classes meet on campus or live online 2 or 3 times a week. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. mycomputercareer.edu.
Welcome in and welcome back. It's hour number 3, the 6 o'clock hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on a Monday here in Eastern Iowa, 1600 AM. Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, also heard concurrently on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids. You can stream online, kgymradio.com. And make sure you check out the podcast if you missed anything from today's show or the gym class earlier today. The gym class kicks off local programming every day right here at 3 o'clock. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes leading into this program. And they've got some great giveaways for you this week as well. We failed to mention that Cole in Martell was the winner of the $30 gift card to La Cantina. We've got another giveaway here inside the 6 o'clock hour. Be listening for your chance to take home tickets to see comedian Gabriel Iglesias, a.k.a. Fluffy, coming to the Iowa State Fair this August.
One of my favorite comedians.
He's a funny dude.
He's hilarious.
I know him, actually came across his work a couple years ago. Topps Baseball Card Company did a set of people who threw out first pitches at games, and he was in there. I think he threw out a first pitch at a Marlins game. I'd have to look this up, but I was unfamiliar with him, and I looked some of his stuff up on YouTube, and I was laughing pretty quickly. So we'll have a chance for you to take home tickets to see Gabriel Iglesias at the Iowa State Fair coming up in August. It's hard to believe that we're already talking about the Iowa State Fair, but it's June. June 3rd.
It's right around the corner.
It is now right around the corner. I have brought Alex around to using my verbiage to describe when things are imminent. Maybe not necessarily all that close to being in the near future. We found out today the Big Ten Media Days got moved up in Chicago this summer to the 18th and 19th of July. It's going to be a Thursday and Friday.
That is strange.
It is a little strange. The Hawkeyes will be available on day two. So Friday, July 19th, I have no idea what our plans are. I'm hoping we will once again be broadcasting from Big Ten Media Days and seeing our good friend Doug of the Doug and Daddy Show, among everybody else who's there on Radio Row. It's at the Hilton in Chicago this year, which is a really great location,
hotel. Right on the Magnificent Mile?
It's a little south, but unless it's the other Hilton. This one that I'm thinking of is near Grant Park, and it's a good setup Radio Row-wise on the second balcony. I don't know why I'm talking about this right now, because none of our listeners could possibly find this interesting. The interesting part, of course, is we hopefully will be there broadcasting and talking with Kirk Ferentz and all of our friends at the Big Ten, including a successor to Jim Delaney. We'll find out who that's going to be tomorrow when the conference makes its official announcement, and that will be carried, no surprise here, on the Big Ten Network.
Chances it will be Darren Erstad.
Zero. He wants to spend more. He doesn't want to miss time with his kids growing up. Hmm. That's the, I don't know whether Erstad was pushed to resign, but Nebraska baseball coach Darren Erstad is out after 8 seasons as head coach of the Huskers. And our old pal Kendall Rogers at D1Baseball.com throwing out a list of names that Nebraska could be looking at. And wouldn't you know it, there's a Big Ten coach on the list. If he's listening right now, he's probably rolling his eyes. Rick Heller is mentioned as a possible candidate for the Nebraska job. Now, this is Kendall Rogers saying if he were Bill Moose. If he were Bill Moose, he would go after a handful of guys. Does refer to Rick Heller as a rock star. And Iowa baseball is lucky to have him, and might be time to revisit with Gary Barta that conversation about some of the things that Rick Heller needs in order to continue moving the Iowa baseball program forward. What was the last job that came open that he got his name got kicked around with?
I remember this, and I remember because we had Rick on maybe about a week later, and
it was a fairly decent national job, if I remember.
Yeah, he said, I like Kendall, I know Kendall, and I was a little surprised he didn't check
with him first, yeah. But it did, I think, ultimately wind up helping Rick out in the long run. Nebraska has not experienced the great deal of success in baseball it expected to when it moved to the Big Ten. We've been down this road before on the program where we've discussed the idea that they're blaming their struggles on the fact that the Big Ten is not as strong of a conference baseball-wise as the Big 12. That doesn't necessarily seem to check out logically, but to each their own. Darren Erstad was a longtime Major League Baseball star, a household name, a great get at the time, and we'll see. Jabba Chamberlain's not doing anything. You can go out and bring him in. I think he still lives in Lincoln.
Now that would be awesome.
Now he looks thinner than when he played. I saw a picture of him recently. I barely recognized him.
It's not all that surprising. However, you know how people always wonder, man, you just go searching through people's tweets to find something they tweeted like 15 years ago? Well, I have very quickly found who Kendall Rogers last was rumoring Rick Heller too, which job he was connecting Rick Heller to.
Okay.
It was Kansas State, and that was
K-State.
Last year. That was last summer.
That was, and the obvious tie there with Gene Taylor,
right,
who was at Iowa before taking over as the athletic director there. That's the open job. So, Rick, if you're listening, I apologize for mentioning that on the air. You're probably rolling your eyes, but also maybe trying to strike while the iron is hot once again. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Getting a lot of love for Jose Iglesias on the text line. No.
Gabriel Iglesias.
Gabriel Iglesias. Jose Iglesias is a light-hitting
baseball player,
infielder, I think, for the Detroit Tigers. Getting a lot of love for the comedy show that we've got tickets for at the Iowa State Fair. That is coming up in August. We'll be giving away those tickets to see Fly. I just got to call him Fluffy. I can't make that mistake again. Just call him Fluffy from now on.
If you YouTube Gabriel Iglesias, yes, he's funny, but what he does, I think, better than anything, his sound effects. Have you ever heard his impersonations of people, his sound effects of like highway traffic? Just YouTube Gabriel Iglesias and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's absolutely hilarious, and that's one of his biggest gifts.
He threw out the first pitch at a Marlins game in July of 2014, and that's when Topps commemorated that first pitch on a baseball card. I knew I wasn't making that up. Anybody can have a baseball card nowadays. And nowadays it's absolutely insane. Stephen A. Smith has a baseball card. He was in the Allen and Ginter card set a couple years ago put out by Topps. Topps is the only baseball card company that has a license to use Major League Baseball logos and team names. So I don't know why I'm suddenly talking about baseball cards now, but see, look, you have Gabriel Iglesias ticket. Let's just give the darn things away right now so I don't get backlogged thinking about more things involving Fluffy. Caller number six right now to 319-366-1600. You're going to take those tickets off our hands. And again, Gabriel Iglesias coming to the Iowa State Fair. I want to say August 14th is the date on that, and that is correct. It's a Wednesday night. He's going to be headlining the State Fair that evening. Other acts that have been announced for this year's State Fair include Hootie and the Blowfish, Luke Bryan, Foreigner, and the Chainsmokers. Some pretty good diverse lineup, as they usually have there at the grandstand. These, again, are tickets to see Gabriel Iglesias August 14th, and we will have these all week long here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. 319-366-1600. We'll find out who our winner is in just a little bit. I know we touched on this earlier on in the program, but how big of an opportunity did Toronto let slip through its fingers this weekend?
Huge. It was a huge opportunity. I know that there have been a lot of hot takes swirling around the NBA Finals. I know, that's a shocker, right? That's not something that people usually overreact to.
Can you imagine if Toronto would have won Game 2? If yes. They would have gone up 2-0, ESPN would have been DEFCON 5 as far as hot takes are concerned. You would have blow up the Warriors. It's done. It's over.
Kawhi Leonard, the best player in the world.
Yep.
Pascal now, Siakam for the NBA Finals MVP.
And they did this without Klay Thompson at the end of the game. They hung on and even the series. Now it goes home to Golden State.
But we were asking the question before the series, do the Raptors have enough offense to hang with the Warriors, to withstand the runs that the Warriors were going to make? And at times, the answer can be yes, but let me ask you something. Are you going to count on Pascal Siakam to have the night that he did in game number one every single night? Are you going to rely on Fred VanVleet shooting, 50% from beyond the arc? Are you going to rely on Kawhi Leonard to score 40 a night, even though he scored 34 last night? He was 2-for-9 from beyond the arc. They had open looks again, and things evened out. They didn't shoot as well. And despite the fact that Klay Thompson missed a lot of the fourth quarter, Andre Iguodala was ineffective for most of the night offensively because he was hobbling on one leg. I don't think Steph Curry is anywhere near 100%. He didn't have a great game. The Warriors still found a way to win despite a late Toronto surge and a really bad technical foul that Steph Curry took. It was the right call, terrible time for it. So the Golden State Warriors have the advantage here. They are going back to Oracle, and I don't think anybody expects Toronto to win either of those two games. Toronto could have put themselves up 2-0 and put all the pressure on Golden State to have to win those two games and then pick off another road game in Toronto where it's obviously very difficult to win. Instead, it's 1-1, and I would be very surprised if this series returns to Toronto anywhere other than 3-1 Golden State.
Did the series essentially wrap up for Golden State this weekend is the question. 319-366-1600. Yes, it's one game apiece, but was that not Toronto's only opportunity? Is it all over now for the Raptors? Am I doing this right? I've got the ESPN national playbook in front of me suggesting how to handle this topic. Is it all over for the Raptors? 319-366-1600. 1600. The Major League Baseball draft is underway. The first pick is officially in the books, and as expected, Adley Rutschman of Oregon State, the catcher, goes number one overall to the Baltimore Orioles. So I would expect the Kansas City Royals to follow suit with Bobby Witt Jr., the son of the 16-year Major League veteran of the same name, who's arguably the best high school prospect available in the draft. And then the fun begins at number three, where the Chicago White Sox will figure out what they would like to do with that draft pick. Andrew Vaughn out of Cal is...
it's got to be a college bat, right?
You're not going to see a pitcher until at least seven with Nick Lodolo out of TCU, who's head and shoulders the best pitching prospect in this year's draft. And he's considered to be most likely a number three at the big league level. So it's not a great year to try to find pitching in the draft, although sometimes pitching is best found in the later rounds beyond the first round. I was looking back at a draft, or I think it was the 2012 draft earlier today. Maybe it was the 2010 draft. I can't remember, but there were plenty of recognizable starting pitchers drafted in the second, third, fourth, fifth rounds and much later on. I'll be tuned in tomorrow. Rounds 3 through 10 take place tomorrow. And TJ Sikkema out of the University of Missouri, who's from my hometown of DeWitt, little old DeWitt, Iowa, has an opportunity to go. Baseball America has him projected anywhere between the third and fifth round. Big left-handed strike thrower, which is a pretty good profile, especially in a draft that's weak on pitching. If you're a big left-hander and you can throw strikes, you can pitch in the major leagues for quite a while. May not put up great numbers. I think of a guy like Joe Saunders, who was here in Cedar Rapids many years ago, had a decent big league career. Big left-handers eventually become soft-tossing left-handers, but if you throw left-handed, you're golden. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, as we mentioned, available for you to reach out to us here. Mondays on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Randy's Flooring. Do you have pets? Do you have kids? Randy's has the flooring covering that's best for your family's needs. Just check out one of their locations in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville on the Coralville Strip, and one of the Randy's professionals will make sure that you get the right flooring necessary for your project, whether it's big or small. We appreciate their sponsorship here with us on the program. From the NBA to Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Tonight we'll get Alex's thoughts on that, plus a big board update from our producer Kyle Mann when we return. It is 6:20, back with more of the show after this.
It'd be nice to carry Lynn County REC around in your pocket, huh? You know, if you want to pay your bill.
It's right here in my pocket.
Want to check how much energy you're using any time of any day?
I'll just reach into my pocket.
Report an outage.
In my pocket.
Energy rebates are the latest from Lynn County REC. You guessed it.
Pocket.
It's that simple. All you need is the Lynn County REC Smart Hub app. Then you can pay your bill, check your daily energy use, report an outage, etc., right from the phone in your pocket.
In my pocket.
If you're app savvy, just pick it up in the Apple app or Google Play Store. And if you'd like step-by-step instructions, that's a snap too. Get them at LynnCountyREC.com, or even easier, hit up YouTube and watch Lynn County REC's Smart Hub video. Once you've got it ready to go, everything you need from Lynn County REC is right there in your pocket.
Pocket.
See how easy that is? The Lynn County REC Smart Hub app. Another one of the handy benefits of membership with Lynn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired, but your guests do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Drywall, painting, general carpentry, kitchens, countertops, and alterations, and remodeling to business properties. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
See their work and get in touch at jacksonremodel.com.
people think that I'm not a big firm, I'm not a large company. What would anyone want with my data? But you don't know. Client credit cards, employee information, it's all critically important and it needs to stay secure.
Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions.
If you ever have a question about how secure is your network, give us a call. We can certainly do an audit.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
At Menards, nobody beats our prices on storage solutions. Dakota makes it easy to create your own custom shelving space. Square edge decorative shelving is great for adding space in kitchens, offices, bedrooms, and more. 23 1/4 inch deep by 8 foot long square edge shelves and 5 finishes are just $20.99 each after rebate during Menards construction sale. Prices are good through June 9th. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Father's Day.
Save big money at Menards.
KGYM and Smart FM, a perfect combination. Like a perfectly turned double play, a perfectly timed pass, a perfect handoff, a perfect assist, a perfect drive, a perfect shot from beyond the three-point line, the perfect song for your celebration, the perfect band that brings back great memories. Perfect sports coverage on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Twins enjoy an off day on the road in Cleveland before a three-game set with the Tribe begins on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym. 6:23, welcome back in as we keep you apprised of all of the sports happenings tonight, nationally, regionally, and locally. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until 7 o'clock this evening. Major League Baseball draft is underway. The first two picks are in the books. The Chicago White Sox are on the clock right now with pick number 3. No drama, at least with the first two picks. Adley Rutschman, the best college player, off the board at number 1 to the Orioles. And then the Kansas City Royals taking Bobby Witt Jr., a shortstop out of high school in the state of Texas, son of Bobby Sr., who pitched for 16 seasons in the major leagues. They are the 9th father-son combination to both be drafted in the first round. Tom and Ben Grieve were the first father-son duo taken in the first round. I remember watching Ben Grieve play as a member of the West Michigan Whitecaps in the Oakland A's organization here in Cedar Rapids at the old Veterans Memorial Stadium. Made my parents drive me over here so that I could catch West Michigan when they passed through. They all, at that same time, they had David Zancanaro on their pitching staff, which was a member of the fabled Four Aces. This is history hour here for a lot of folks who could not care any less. But the Oakland Athletics in the 1990 draft had 4 high draft picks. They used them all on pitchers. I'm going to see if I can remember. The most famous was Todd Van Poppel. He was going to be the next Nolan Ryan. They had 4 picks. Todd Van Poppel, Dave Zancanaro, Don Peters, and I can't remember whether it was Kirk Dressendorfer or who the 4th. Needless to say, the 4 aces did not pan out for the Oakland Athletics. A good reminder that what we're watching right now with the Major League Baseball draft, there are no guarantees, even if you're the number 1 overall pick. Or if you're like Mike Trout and you go, what, 25, 26, something like that. There was a great story on MLB.com last week about how Mike Trout almost wound up as an Arizona Diamondback. And
was it signability with him?
No. It was the fact that he played in New Jersey, which is a cold weather state, and the knock on Trout is he was from New Jersey, and they questioned whether or not he was putting up those numbers against inferior competition. If he put those numbers up in a state like Texas or Florida, he's right up there, number 1 overall pick. The scout that worked for the Diamondbacks was on the East Coast, went to see Trout, was impressed by him, then went to see Steven Matz, who's currently with the New York Mets, and Matz was pitching somewhere, I think, on Long Island in high school at the time. That game got rained out, and so the scout decided he wanted one last look at Trout. And so instead of going to the airport, he drove back to Millville, New Jersey, and he saw like one of Trout's worst games in high school. And he completely second-guessed himself and decided, okay, nah, talked himself off Mike Trout.
See, this is the point that I always get to with people who are like, you know what, I'm not a great talent evaluator, but this is what I think. You don't have to preface a statement with what you believe, because you're just going to second guess yourself and you fail to realize that, yes, you're not a professional at this, but even the professionals, that happens too. And if nobody was ever wrong and nobody ever missed on a prospect, what would the Major League Baseball look like? It wouldn't be any fun, because honestly, everybody would be great. That's just the way it is.
And it's not just baseball. It's any sport. There were folks out there, remember, who said Patrick Mahomes was a system quarterback
right. At
Texas Tech and wasn't going to have any success in the NFL.
You can't always project everybody.
You can look at basketball players and say, oh, this guy's undersized or this guy's slow, and it turns out to be an all-star caliber player. So it's fun. I've always enjoyed seeing these guys come through. I'll tell you two guys who I thought were going to be really great players, and both of them were first-round draft picks, if I recall correctly, and you're certainly familiar with one of them. I saw with my own eyes.
I know who you're going to say.
Maybe you don't. Colby Rasmus.
Oh, okay.
And Travis Snyder. You remember Travis Snyder?
I do remember Travis Snyder.
He looked like a linebacker. He kind of looked like Mike Trout before Mike Trout.
He's kind of a short, stocky guy,
short,
right?
Short, stocky, great. I thought he had a great swing. Left-handed hitter. And then Rasmus, I thought, was going to be a centerpiece of an outfield in the big leagues for 15, 20 years. Both of those guys were high school kids when they were drafted. They were young when they came through the Midwest League. Looked really good during games when I saw them here in Cedar Rapids. You thought I was going to say Brett Wallace.
No, I thought you were going to say Randall Grichuk.
Oh, Randall Grichuk. Randall, I always liked. He was the guy that the Angels took ahead of Mike Trout. They had back-to-back draft picks, and they took Randall Grichuk and then Mike Trout. And the rest, as they say, is history. Pretty much every team in baseball, with a few exceptions, could have drafted Mike Trout, and they didn't, and here we sit, watching him, one of the top players of all time, when everything is said and done. That was the 2009 draft, Mike Trout.
That was my year, if I would have been a baseball prospect coming out of high school. 2009. That was my graduation year. So Mike Trout is my age.
Mike Trout, by the way, holds this among the footnotes on Mike Trout's Hall of Fame career. This is going to be way down there. He was the very first ever player to attend the draft at the MLB Network Studios in Secaucus, New Jersey.
They've only been doing that for 10 years?
Yeah, on TV. Huh. Steven Strasburg was the number one overall pick that year. You're probably not going back in time and selling anybody on Strasburg.
He was one of the biggest draft prospects of my lifetime.
Here's where it gets just absolutely, boy. Here are all the teams that passed on Mike Trout before we get to Kyle and his final big board update. The Mariners had the number two pick.
Mike Zunino?
Wrong year.
Oh, the left-handed hitter out of North Carolina. Yep.
Second baseman out of North Carolina. Everybody thought he was going to challenge for batting titles. And Dustin Ackley, he may be still kicking around somewhere in independent ball. I think he's out of the big leagues. The number three overall pick was high school outfielder Donovan Tate by the Padres. Never made it above AA. I think he is out of baseball at the moment. The Pirates, with the fourth overall pick, took Boston College catcher Jorge Sanchez. The Orioles at number five took Matthew Hobgood, a high school right-hander. Are we sensing?
Yeah, let's keep going. I like this.
Okay. The Giants took Zach Wheeler at number six.
Okay.
He was in high school at the time, so the fact that he's reached the major leagues is impressive. At number seven, Atlanta took Mike Minor out of Vanderbilt, big league pitcher currently with the Texas Rangers. Mike Leake went number eight to the Reds.
Never spent a day in the minor leagues. I remember him out of Arizona State.
Jacob Turner went ninth to the Tigers.
From the St. Louis area. Mike Matheny coached him in high school.
Made it to the major leagues, was a Chicago Cub for a brief period
Big
of time.
Big prospect. Never really did Big time anything prospect. In the major leagues.
Drew Storen out of Stanford went to Washington. That was the top 10 that year. Then, real briefly, Mike Trout could have been a Colorado Rocky. Can you imagine Trout playing half his games at Coors Field? Tyler Matzek, left-handed pitcher out of California, went number 11. How about Mike Trout at Kauffman Stadium as a Royal? They used the number 12 pick on Aaron Crow.
Out of University of Missouri.
Billy Bean swears to this day. Swears to this day that his draft board was two names. Trout was one of them. The other name was USC shortstop Grant Green. Oakland went with Grant Green at number 13.
I remember him.
Texas Rangers, Matthew Perkey, number 14. We're still 10 picks away from Trout. Alex White to the Indians at 15. This is the spot. The Diamondbacks had 16, 17. They were going to use a high school player for one and a college player for the second one.
Here, let me guess this one. Was this Bauer and what's his name? Wait, you said the Diamondbacks?
Yes. They had back-to-back picks.
Bauer was not one of them, was it?
Okay. Wrong year. Wrong
okay.
year.
No, I'm
this
off
is,
the year.
This would have been
I was going to guess Bauer and Archie Bradley.
This would have been a Hall of Fame draft. They took Bobby Borchering with the 16th pick. That's the one that they were targeting with Trout. And then followed it up with A.J. Pollock out of Notre Dame. Pollock's a hell of a ball player.
He is a good player.
Can you imagine Mike Trout and Pollock back-to-back in the same draft? Didn't happen, though. The Marlins at number 18 took a left-hander out of an Oklahoma high school by the name of Chad James. The Cardinals picked 19th and drafted
Shelby Miller.
Steven Jenkins out of Kennesaw State went number 20 to the Toronto Blue Jays. BJ and Marion, if you're listening right now, the Houston Astros had the 21st pick. They took high school shortstop Giovanni Meyer.
This is ridiculous.
The Twins then had the number 22nd pick. They took Kyle Gibson, big league pitcher for them right now. They at least hit on that pick. The Chicago White Sox picked 23rd and took
this is going to be a dud.
LSU center fielder Jared Mitchell. And then the Angels came in with the 24th and 25th picks and selected Randall Grichuk and Mike Trout in back-to-back picks. The Chicago Cubs did not have a first-round pick in that year's draft. They picked. Actually, I take that back. They had the 31st overall pick and used it on Brett Jackson, but Trout was off the board. So they're free and clear. You can't get mad if you're a Cubs fan that they didn't draft Mike Trout, but pretty much almost every other team in baseball had an opportunity to draft Mike Trout and didn't.
I think there's something poetic about the fact that we were just talking about the fact that, well, at least he made the major leagues. Even how many players do we look and say, well, at least they made the major leagues, even if it was like a serviceable to a below serviceable major league career for those players? That's awful. I mean, that's brutal. I know that you can't hit on everybody and there are mistakes made, but I think that all but one scouting team in Major League Baseball, it's hard to overlook the fact that you could have had that player.
The White Sox, by the way, have selected Andrew Vaughn out of Cal with the number 3 overall pick. Short, right-handed throwing first baseman with a big-time bat. So he's got some knocks against him, but the bat's going to play, and there are some short first basemen who come to mind. Prince Fielder was one of them. Everybody thought Prince Fielder was a little short, and he wound up having a nice career before injuries derailed things. Christian Walker is in the big leagues right now with the Diamondbacks. He's a short right-handed throwing first baseman. It's not a death sentence.
Another short first-round pick, though.
Another short first-round pick.
last year, Nick Madrigal out of Oregon State.
Nick Madrigal was a really short, Freddie Patek-sized. He's knocking the cover off the ball. He doesn't have any power, but he can be a big-time on-base and stolen base guy if they're still stealing bases in the major leagues in the near future. It seems to be going the way of the dodo bird. Kyle is with us in the studio, very patient during the rundown of all the teams that could have drafted Mike Trout and didn't. He's got a final big board update. Big board updates on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, brought to you by Alexander Lumber. For right now, you can still find them at their temporary location in Iowa City. That would be at 2802 Independence Drive. Details on their new permanent location to come this summer.
Gary Barta and Jamie Pollard issued a joint announcement this morning that the Iowa Corn Cyhawk Series football game has been extended to exist through 2025. That tacks on an additional 2 years to the existing agreement. The teams first played in 1894 and have met every year since 1977. This year's game is going to be in Ames on September 14th. The Hawkeyes got their first commitment in the class of 2021 yesterday evening, and Iowa Director of Recruiting Tyler Barnes proved he might be a worthy follow on Twitter. At 8:03, he tweeted, quote, "Nothing like starting off Swarm 21 with a bang, with a video of a small child dunking over a smaller child on a Nerf hoop. Nobody knew what that meant, but just over an hour later, offensive lineman Jennings Dunker committed out of Illinois. 24/7 gives the 6'4", 265-pound junior-to-be 3 stars. The MLB draft is starting tonight, and although nobody's likely to be selected tonight, it'll be something to keep an eye on for Iowa baseball fans over the coming days. Senior Cole McDonald's pretty likely to be selected, but Dargan Southard pinpointed another couple guys to pay attention to. Junior catcher Austin Martin and redshirt freshman Connor McCaffrey. He points out that it's highly unlikely McCaffrey would leave school, but he is the Hawkeyes' highest-ranked player, according to Baseball America. The Colonels took 2 of 3 in Beloit over the weekend to reach the 500 mark on the season. They're off today before starting the second half of a 2-week road trip in Clinton tomorrow. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Blues trying to bounce back from a Game 3 shellacking. It's Game 4 from St. Louis on all three KGYM frequencies.
Andre Tippett, Dallas Clark, and Tim Dwight among former Iowa Hawkeyes who today were listed on the College Football Hall of Fame ballot for the upcoming class. And the Division 3 World Series rolling on here in Cedar Rapids, the first year that the city has hosted that event. It'll be Birmingham Southern, the team that ended Coe's season in the Super Regional, taking on Chapman tomorrow in the Best of 3 World Series. So best of luck going out to both of those teams. And if you happen to be in town following one of those two schools, welcome to Eastern Iowa. Hopefully you've enjoyed your time here, and before you know it, you'll be back to civilization where there's better sports talk radio. 6:39, we'll need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, as promised, Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals on tap tonight. Alex is going bluesless. He's trying to get his team righted and back on track after the Tarasenko jersey failed him during Game 3. We'll get his thoughts and more on Game 4 when we return after this.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in Eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh. For every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day of life. Member FDIC.
Hulu's paying Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Mallory Pugh, and other U.S. soccer stars a lot of money to do a new goal celebration called Hulu Has Live Sports. Why? It's simple. Because Hulu has live sports! You can watch the biggest games and sporting events like the Women's World Cup this summer on 60-plus top channels. No cable required. Plus, you can stream the entire Hulu library. Start your free trial of Hulu today. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com.
Wedding season is upon us, and the easiest way to look fresh for the big day is with theblacktux.com. The Black Tux has awesome suits and tuxedos that you rent online. With their free home try-on, you can see the fit and feel the quality of your suit months before your event. After ordering, it will arrive 14 days before your event. Stand out for the right reasons with the Black Tux. For $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com and enter code SPAIN. That's theblacktux.com, code SPAIN.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. The 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If your check engine light is on, our Fix Finder service will help troubleshoot the likely issue. And if you want a repair shop to help with the job, we know some of the best ones around. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Restrictions and details in store. Get in the zone,
AutoZone. 6:43, welcome back in as we hit the final stretch of the Todd Brolecamp Show with Alex Kuhn, taking you to 7 o'clock tonight. Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals on tap this evening from the Enterprise Center in St. Louis as the Blues look to even things up with the Bruins. Chances that that happens tonight. They got their teeth kicked in so bad Saturday that I like their chances tonight because it wasn't like a close,
right,
heartbreaking, gut-wrenching loss, which the Stanley Cup Finals oftentimes bring us. I think it's better. It's almost better to get blown out because then you move on from that real easy. If this was, say, a double overtime or triple overtime game Saturday night where they just had their hearts ripped out in front of them, Indiana Jones style, then I would be like, oh my God, series is over. There's no way they bounce back from that. This, I think they flush Saturday night fairly easily. And as we talked with Chris Raby from KMOX in the 5 o'clock hour, Jordan Binnington's been really good coming off a loss.
He absolutely has. And the entire team has. They've done a good job bouncing back from terrible performances. And it sort of, they've put themselves behind the eight ball in every series, where in the first series against Winnipeg, they're up 2-0. They come home for game three and they get walloped. They're taking on the Dallas Stars. Game two, they have a chance to go up 2-0. They lose game two against the San Jose Sharks, their first game at home. They lose. They fall behind 2-1 for whatever reason. Coming back to Enterprise Center has not been kind to them. That first game of the series at home has not been good for the St. Louis Blues. So I think that they're going to have a much better effort. Will that be enough? That's never a guarantee against a team like the Boston Bruins. They have put themselves in this spot with a very lackluster performance at home. I'm not saying that even if they played well, there would have been any fending off the Boston Bruins the other night, but I agree with you. I think that was a complete wake-up call that if they continue to take penalties and put themselves in bad positions, their season's going to be over very quickly. So if they don't want that to happen, they'll get to their game early. They'll wear the Bruins down like they did in game one, and they'll play with more discipline and stay out of the penalty box.
It was fascinating. I watched the game on Saturday night in large part due to the fact that the Cubs-Cardinals game went into a rain delay almost right around the time that the game started. And I thought, oh, that's just a coincidence. These guys are hanging out. They want to watch the hockey game. That was not the case. The weather there was absolutely miserable. I'm surprised they actually resumed that game at 11:20 or whenever it was, and that's when Gordon Ramsay was yelling at the little kids. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. I stayed up late to watch the resumption of the game, and apparently it was up to the local affiliates, the local Fox affiliates, as to whether or not they wanted to.
What are you, an idiot sandwich?
Yeah.
Sorry, that was my Gordon Ramsay impersonation.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. And those little kids had they had their work cut out for them. I think they were making sliders or something to that effect. And I just, like an idiot, I sat there in front of the TV, just, somebody's asleep at the wheel. They'll realize that the Cubs-Cardinals aren't on and put the game back on. But
does he at least not swear at the kids like does the adults?
He was still rough in his criticism, but he was not in their face screaming at them.
Okay.
And that's why I turned it off. I would have watched him cussing out the kids, screaming and yelling and treating them like adults. He treated them with kid gloves, which, quite frankly, while I'm sure they appreciated it, I as a viewer did not. I wanted to see them cussed at and screamed at like he yells at adults. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. As we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight, it's not official. Nobody from the Big Ten is commenting, but Teddy Greenstein of the Chicago Tribune has a piece on the paper's website about Jim Phillips of Northwestern, the athletic director at Northwestern, long rumored to be the likely replacement for Jim Delaney as commissioner of the Big Ten. Teddy Greenstein is really well-sourced, especially when it comes to Northwestern athletics. And so the fact that he continues to push Jim Phillips at the forefront here, nobody from the Big Ten is confirming this, but they will have a news conference tomorrow. I believe it's at the Park Ridge offices there near O'Hare Airport, and introduce the successor to. How would you like to be the guy? I mean, you're a setup to not fail, right? Jim Delaney has, for the better part of his tenure, and he's been on the job for 30 years now, for the better part of his tenure, he's been light years ahead of the other conference commissioners. They tackled expansion in the early 90s, first with Penn State, and then more recently with Nebraska, Maryland, and Rutgers. The Big Ten Network is churning out cash at an alarming rate. You're basically being handed the keys to a mint condition Corvette, and all you got to do is manage to get it from point A to point B without getting a scratch on it.
Right. I don't think there's a ton of room for growth within the conference. I feel like everything that Jim Delaney did brought so much, every ounce of eyes to that conference and attention, better said, to that conference as possible. But I think that for whoever the next commissioner is, all you have to do is keep the status quo of churning out the money and keeping all the schools happy in order for your tenure to be considered a success. Not a ton of room for growth, but all you have to do is keep the status quo. Keep it as it is.
Sports Business Journal named him the Athletic Director of the Year last season, and by all accounts, Jim Phillips is going to be the successor to Jim Delaney when he officially retires in 2020. We will see. Of course, that news conference is tomorrow, I believe, at noon, so we'll have complete reaction to it here on local programming, which kicks off at 3 o'clock with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. It's a big week for us. Alex and I are going to be in Iowa City on Wednesday, the resumption of our Lunchbox Heroes tour across the corridor, visiting various construction sites, brought to you by Built by Pros and a number of other great sponsors, including Airgas, United Rental, and the Chick-fil-A stores, both at Coral Ridge Mall as well as Lindale Mall. Among others, you can get the full list of sponsors at our website, kgymradio.com. We're going to be on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City. So if you're a construction worker working on the Ped Mall project, I've not been down there since the construction began, but giving the Ped Mall a facelift, we're going to be giving you a lunch on Wednesday. Again, details available at our website, kgymradio.com. com.
I know that a lot of the construction on the Ped Ball was sort of wrapping up and shifting to different locations, so I'm excited to sort of see where we are going to be at on the Ped Mall. The Graduate is fully in, and that area near Brothers and DC's and the hotel sort of sandwiched in there has for the most part been taken care of, but I know that Iowa City is constantly in a state of construction, and where else they're going to be working on that Ped Mall.
That's coming up on Wednesday. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll have full reaction to the new Pope of the Big Ten, whoever the new commissioner is, most likely Jim Phillips. We'll also have reaction to day one of the Major League Baseball draft. The Cardinals, Twins, and Cubs all yet to select in the draft. It's underway on the MLB Network for those of you who get that and want to follow along. The Twins, I believe, pick 13th. And then the Cardinals, if I recall correctly, are at 19, and the Cubs at 27. Right now, the Cincinnati Reds are on the clock with the 7th overall selection. The most recent pick, the San Diego Padres, taking Georgia high school shortstop C.J. Abrams with the 6th overall selection. Who knows? Maybe 10 years from now, we're looking back on this draft the way that we looked back on the 2009 draft earlier.
Please, no.
And we're talking about, there's never going to be another Mike Trout.
He was drafted 24th in a really, really poor draft.
Spent a great deal of time for the first half of the 2010 season playing right here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And if you didn't get a chance to get out there,
he's pretty darn good, too.
He was really, really good. Really freaking good. And that team was really good, too. Gene Segura, who's currently with the Phillies, Patrick Corbin, who's with the Nationals now after signing a big free agent deal, Tyler Skaggs. They had a lot of major league players on that team. Randall Grichuk, none better than Mike Trout. That is going to do it for a Monday edition of the program. Again, a big thank you to all of our fine sponsors here at KGYM, but a special tip of the cap to the folks at Randy's Flooring, the Monday sponsor here. You can find them online at randysflooring.com. We'll come to you tomorrow from the KGYM studios beginning at 4 o'clock. And you can tune in to local programming tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes will kick things off with the gym class. If you missed anything from today's show, download the podcast now, kgymradio.com. And don't forget, vote in the Emil's Hideaway poll question one last time. Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals on the way.